much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and eat meat in it. Hallelujah. I'm on my way to church this morning.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, it's another Manic Monday for you on K-Rock. Anyway, I'm Rodney, and here's a band.
About your APB, individual in question was last spotted at the 7-Eleven down the street, hanging around the soda machines, making what the kids call suicide.
Suicide?
Oh, yeah, it's just a drink with, like, a bunch of flavors in it. You got Coke, Sprite, Orange, Diet, there's the vanilla. Mr. Pibb, if you're real.
And where's the 7-Eleven?
And now.
You dig?
I don't really dig, but I dig. You dig?
Yeah, I dig. I'm so glad that you dig.
Our feature presentation.
It's like most of our conversations around here. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 13th of July. What's up?
What's going on, you guys?
You know.
How's everybody?
Party
weekend.
Just thinking about Omar.
Yeah, I just saw him. Just ran into him in the parking lot. Yeah.
Is he limping, hobbling, in a wheelchair, crawling? What's he doing? What's his testicle situation?
He's like one of those dogs that has wheels instead of back legs.
Okay.
Yeah. He's just walking on his paws.
And I thought the cone was weird.
It was pretty weird, yeah.
Well, you can't let him lick it. It's too soon. Too soon to lick it after the surgery. So he survived, right?
Yeah, he's good.
All right. Let's pretend we're going to kick him in the balls all day today, though, just to panic him.
I will tell you this, though. He said something happened that I was completely shocked by.
Oh.
During his vasectomy?
Yes.
Oh.
But I'm not going to tell you till we get on the air, so he's going to give us an update in about a half hour.
Can he top you, your sighting of smoke?
I sounded like it.
Ooh.
I mean, he really sounded like, what the hell? So what could that have been?
Yeah. Huh. I don't know.
Huh.
It's great.
Huh.
Allie, what do you remember about your vasectomy?
It didn't take as long as they thought it would with
right.
how, you know, large my balls are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What? Mm-hmm. I don't even know what's happening.
Got a great story to get us started before we get into today's All New Kevin Bean Show. We do have a lot of good stuff coming up on the program today. Baggage fees. If you're flying anywhere these days, man, the airlines, do they just figure out a way to just wring every possible penny out of you, don't they? And one of the ways they do it in most classes on an airplane is by charging you. Some airlines you get charged for bag one. A lot of airlines you get one for free, but anything beyond that you're going to pay, and you're going to pay handsomely. And that's what this young man was trying to avoid. His name is James McElvar. Is his name. He's apparently in a band, by the way, that I am unfamiliar with. Have you guys heard of a group called Rewind?
I've not, no.
Rewind. That's the name of the band. Well, he was flying. It doesn't say, I don't think I am scanning here, it doesn't say exactly where to and where from, but it was one of those situations where you got the first bag for free, but it was $70 for the second bag.
70?
Wow.
70 bucks. That's not uncommon, by the way, Kevin.
What?
That's
we're talking $19 or something like that. Seven.
No. Oh, here it is. He was flying from London to Glasgow. So a pretty short flight. So he says, hey, I don't want to spend 70 bucks. What is that? That's got to be an hour flight, I would imagine, right? That'd be like L.A. to Las Vegas, right? So what he decided to do was to wear all of the clothes that he was packing. So he put on 4 sweaters, 6 T-shirts, 3 pairs of jeans, 2 pairs of jogging pants, 2 jackets, and 2 hats.
Love him.
But don't they make you – that's so weird. After he went through security or what, how did that happen?
He was probably checking his bag, and then they told him the fee, and he's like, uh-uh.
No way.
Probably
no way.
So, yes.
Huh.
So unclear whether he went – I guess he would have had to take a lot of that off. For security.
You're behind him in line at TSA and you are angry.
Yeah, you are. Anyway, 19 years old, by the way, he gets on the plane and he promptly collapses from heat exhaustion. Again, 4 sweaters, 6 T-shirts, 3 pairs of jeans, 2 pairs of jogging pants, 2 jackets, and 2 hats. The 19-year-old vomited and had to be given oxygen, and he's lucky to be alive, the BBC reports. He said he regretted the decision pretty early on.
Yeah.
I admit, it was impossible to walk. I could barely get onto the plane. I wanted to take them all off as soon as I got to my seat. But once airborne, he got sick. He moved around the plane several times. He was looked after by an off-duty paramedic, eventually ended up in the recovery position. What's that, by the way? Is that just head between your knees or
recovery
something?
Recovery position.
I mean, after you vomit, maybe that's what it is. Upon landing, he was taken to the hospital in an ambulance where he started to get better, and he is okay now. So let's, I guess the takeaway here is don't do that.
And
nice job, dumbass.
Right, exactly.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
It frightens me when you act all smart like that.
That's as smart as I get, though, so don't worry about it. On the program today, Real King, Fake King.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. Is spontaneous vomit a thing?
Yep.
Because Bean and Chi Bean says that it is. They say you spontaneous vomit. You don't feel it coming. You're not sick. Your stomach's not upset. And then just out of nowhere, you're throwing up and you're like, what's going on? I don't even know what happened. Is that really a thing?
We're telling you it is a thing. Yeah. I think asked and answered. Yeah.
No, I know you're telling me.
The fact
me
that
a
there
thing.
Are four people in this room and two of them have had it happen to them on more than one occasion answers your question. It is a thing.
Not buying it. I'm not buying it. Just telling
we're
you
lying.
That right
we're
now.
We're just making it up.
You are lying.
Just made it up. Okay.
We are going to talk to Omar about how his surgery went on Friday. Mm-hmm. Find out what's going on with that. Harvey
we learned a lot about the human body today, it sounds like.
Yeah. Harvey Levin from TMZ on the program, and also Natasha Leggero and Ricky Lindholm. Another Period is the name of the show. It's on Comedy Central. We'll have them in studio and talk about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Hey, that ended really quickly. I mean, quicker than most, I think.
Yeah, and this isn't on, so that would be good.
I'm saying that one before I thought it was going to end.
Happy Monday.
Boom.
I think this whole show is a surprise to Kevin, Ralph, is what's happening.
Boom,
his whole
it
career
ended.
Is a surprise to me.
Hey, it is a Monday morning. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and that is the voice of Ralph Garman, which means it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week.
And because it's Monday and this is the Showbiz Beat, that means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Minions, as expected, did very well for itself. It wasn't the biggest all-time animated opener ever. That's still Shrek the Third, believe it or not, which opened with $121 million in its first weekend. But Minions did very well with $115.2 million, making it number one over the weekend. Jurassic World was in second place, a distant second, with just $18 million. Jurassic World finally seems to be cooling off a little bit. Inside Out was third. Terminator Genesis was fourth. Gallows, number five at the box office. Magic Mike XXL was sixth. Ted 2. Selfless, the new Ryan Reynolds action sci-fi thriller, in its debut made just $5.4 million. And then Bahubali, The Beginning, was
Bahubali.
Ninth. Bahubali, The
Bahubali.
Beginning.
Bahubali, sure.
Was ninth.
Bahubali.
Bahubali,
I haven't heard of that one.
The Beginning.
Well, sure, it's the beginning.
Of Bahubali.
Right.
What is this? Why is this? Who is this? Where is this? When is this?
Don't know times five.
Debuted with $3.6 million over the weekend. And then Max, the story of the German Shepherd with PTSD.
Is that real?
That's real.
Huh.
Tenth at the box offices.
Apparently your Bahubali The Beginning is an Indian movie that is subtitled in English.
Yeah. How about that? Is it Bollywood? Do they do that cool dancing?
It seems like most of the Indian movies do break out into song at some point. But
love that.
I'm not seeing that here. But
I love the Bollywood dancing.
Looks like it's real.
And the sitar music. And the boom, 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 boom. Those drums they have. They do that dancing.
Why aren't they hiring you to score those Bollywood films?
Remember the end of Slumdog Millionaire?
Sure.
They did that big dance scene in the train station there.
Yeah.
Awesome. John Stamos is trying to get a handle on his demons, apparently. He has announced he has checked into a residential treatment center, as they say. Some people call it rehab. Just 12 days after he was busted on DUI charges in Beverly Hills. Trying to get some help for himself. Good move for you, John Stamos. Stay away from that Bob Saget. That's the bad influence right there. Him with all the coke. He's always giving coke to everybody. Everybody comes in here to do the show. You want some coke? No! Go away, Bob.
Stop it.
Stop it, Bob. Some sad news over the weekend. Legendary movie star Omar Sharif passed away at the age of 83. He had been diagnosed earlier this year with Alzheimer's disease. So given the two choices, look, neither one is good. But this Alzheimer's, after watching that Glenn Campbell documentary, I want nothing to do with that. He was a legend in Hollywood, of course, starred in films like, Kevin, Omar Sharif. You know his big films, right?
Sure. Seven Sundays in May.
Seven Sundays in May?
It's probably his biggest one.
I think so. Probably best known for Seven Sundays in May. And then, of course, the sequel, Six Mondays in April.
Right, but that was weak.
It wasn't as strong. He also did a film called Lawrence of Arabia.
Sure.
He was known for that. Dr. Zhivago. Yeah. He was the titular role in Dr. Zhivago. Funny Girl, opposite Barbara Streisand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Roger Reese, the talented actor from Cheers and West Wing. Of course, big Broadway star from The Life and Adventures of Nicholas Nickleby. He also passed away at the age of 71 this week. Remember him from the Mel Brooks movie Robin Hood, Men in Tights. He played the Sheriff of Rottingham in that film, and he was very, very funny, talented guy. So, death does not take a holiday. Keeps effing people up. And how lucky were the people on Friday night at San Antonio, Texas? First of all, they were watching the comedy stylings of Steve Martin and Martin Short. They tour together now, these two guys.
I did not know that.
Yeah. That's a show I'd like
to see. That's a night at the theater right there.
Yeah. And their surprise guest walked out on stage there at the Majestic Theater in San Antonio. A gentleman named David Letterman joined in on the fun.
David Letterman.
David Letterman, sporting a full beard, came out to pal around with the guys and also did a top 10 list, which was fun for the crowd, as you can imagine.
We were discussing whether he would ever show his face again. Apparently, the answer is yes.
He unveiled his top 10 list. Interesting facts about Donald Trump. I'll give you just a few of them. Number 10, that thing on his head was the gopher in Caddyshack. Number 5, Donald Trump weighs 240 pounds, 250 with the cologne. Number 2, has pissed off so many Mexicans, he's starring in a new movie called No Amigos. And the number 1 interesting fact about Donald Trump, the Donald Trump presidential mascot is also an ass. So there we go. But David Letterman, back into the limelight. God bless him. Today's celebrity birthdays. Big day for geeks. First of all, Patrick Stewart. Make it so. Jean-Luc Picard of Star Trek The Next Generation. 75 years old today. Harrison Ford.
Wow.
Harrison Ford.
We're home, Chewie. He is 73 years old.
I guess his appearance on stage at Comic-Con over the weekend was the first time we've seen him in public since the plane crash, and he looked like he was doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Cheech of Cheech and Chong is 69. Cameron Crowe, the director and writer, is 58. Actor Tom Kenny, probably know him best as SpongeBob SquarePants. Good actor, all-around good guy. It was very funny. He was an actor on The Comedians recently, that show that I love with Josh Gad and Billy Crystal.
Right.
And the episode they were doing, one of the part of the gag was everybody had to play along in this game, the whole crew of this fictional show they work on, where everybody had to do impressions. And so Tom Kenny is playing one of the guys who works in the crew. He says, I'm going to do SpongeBob SquarePants. And he does a voice and everybody goes, that doesn't sound anything like SpongeBob SquarePants. He's 53 years old today. And actor Ken Jeong. Are we sure this is really his birthday? Because usually every year...
Dr. Ken,
we give out the wrong birthday.
Like 3 times a year.
And then he'll write me and say, thanks so much, but it's not my birthday. And then I look like the ass.
Let's go with it.
Are we sure this is really his birthday?
Nope, but let's
Today's the day.
Are you sure?
I am positive.
Yeah, July 13th. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, but it's not my birthday today.
Wikipedia does have him at July 13th, 1969.
Well, Wikipedia is never wrong. Ken Jeong, 46 years old today. Happy birthday, Dr. Ken. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Balls, 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 balls.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Mead. How are you?
We were hoping to talk to Omar on the show on Friday. We weren't able to work it out with his surgery schedule, but Friday morning during the Kevin and Bead show, Omar took off his pants,
they did.
Put his feet in the stirrups, and let a man come at him with a knife. Called a vasectomy, ladies and gentlemen. How did it go, Oh?
The procedure, it went fine. Maybe I didn't let on, but I was really kind of nervous about the whole thing because a guy is coming with a scalpel to my junk, right?
Yeah, nobody likes that.
Right. So I made a conscious decision and effort to be the first patient on the doctor's day, right?
Okay.
So at 9 o'clock or whatever. So I get there at 8:45, check in, and the doctor's running late. So I'm thinking, crap, what if this guy comes in, he has like some sort of like road rage or, you know what I mean? He's like freaking out,
he's having hungover.
Has a bad day.
He's about to throw up.
So it's so funny that I fully intended to give you guys a call or whatever to give you an update. But as soon as I got into the hospital, I totally just forgot about everything.
Of course.
I was like, no.
Because you're petrified.
Absolutely.
Let me stop you there for a second. Yeah. And I know that you can't control your emotions. You can't control the way you feel. Mm-hmm. But you know that thousands and thousands, maybe millions of people have had this surgery.
Absolutely,
before.
But you only remember the horror stories. Do you know what I mean?
So we didn't help you on Thursday when we had those people call in who had terrible things happen to them.
Right, and I actually have two friends who had really bad vasectomies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that didn't help either. You know? So
he's late.
Yeah. So he's late, and then he finally gets there, and I'm like, okay.
His hands are shaking.
They go in there, they take my vitals, and the nurse goes and she's not hot, luckily.
Oh.
You know what I mean? She goes in there. She's like, drop your pants. You just put on the robe, and then we're going to come and clean you up. So she goes, okay. And then I missed a couple of hairs. So, yeah, she had to, like, retouch my shave. I thought I did a pretty good job shaving, but I guess not. So she shaved it and then cleaned me up. And she left. The doctor comes in and, you know, I'm there, you know.
just hanging. It's a weird thing. To be hanging out in an office like that. Yeah, but again, you do know that the doctor sees this 10 times a day, every day. To him, it's not awkward.
But being you're using logic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it's your junk, there's no logic.
Yeah. And, you know, I started thinking, I'm like, what if this doctor, you know, is just like, man, I went to medical school, and now all I see is people's junks all day. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I try to get in the...
He's just about to quit.
But the doctor was... The doctor was awesome. He was trying to be funny, and he tried to talk to you during the entire thing to make you feel comfortable, which
it
did,
nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So he goes, and he luckily...
If I were the doctor, I would never stop screwing with people. By the way. Oh, my God. I've never seen this happen before. I mean, I would just have...
Or just say oops now and then.
Oh, man, I missed.
Nurse, come look at this.
Wait, is this the clean needle or the dirty needle?
Just get me the rusty one. So luckily for me, I don't know if my threshold of pain is really high, but I really felt like almost no pain. So we had the consultation. I was like, you're going to feel a lot of pain, like you get kicked in the balls. And I didn't feel any of that. I felt a little prick. And he's all like, here, and then here, and then.
Not easy with the language.
And then he's all right, here comes the pain. And I didn't feel anything.
He actually said the words,
here comes the pain.
Here comes the pain.
Here comes the pain.
I hate dollars every time I hear that.
Ever want to hear that.
Yeah.
So, all right, here comes the pain.
And then. I'm not kidding you, dude. He's like, here comes the pain. And then I was like, okay. And
why
then,
would a doctor ever say that, by the way? Wouldn't that that makes the patient, like, tense up?
Maybe he wants you to prepare for, you know, the pain and bite down and clench. I know that's what I did. I bit down, but there was luckily, like, almost no pain.
Okay.
And so not 2 seconds later go by, okay? Not 2 seconds later. So puts a local anesthetic on. Not 2 seconds later, he's all like, okay, so you good? I'm like, yeah. He's all, so you don't feel me cutting into your skin?
Oh.
He says that to me. And I'm like, no.
What?
Yeah. I was like, no. And he's like, okay, that's good.
What?
Yeah, right? So he's doing his thing, and I'm just there. And then he... gets the tube out, I guess. You know, they snip a portion of the tube out.
Right.
The vas deferens.
The vas deferens, right. And it looks like a little piece of pasta or something.
Listen,
right?
This is what he says to me. He's all, hey, you want to check out the tube? I'm like, no, thank you. At the time, in my head, I'm like, no, just get on with it, dude.
You have the best doctor ever.
Right? He's all, you want to check it out? And I'm on there. I'm like, no, thank you. You know, I'm just... In my head, but I'm
would
in my
you like
head.
Us to gift wrap it and take it home?
And I was just like, what? No.
I wonder what percentage of people want to see what's taken out of their body. It's got to be low, right?
During that procedure, I don't think many.
Yeah.
You know? So then I'm like, no, thank you. So he you know, finishes off that side, and goes to the other side, and does his thing.
Oh, you're paid for both.
Yes.
Well
yes,
done.
Yes, yes. And then...
is that an option? You can do one or the other?
Well, it depends. If money's tight.
So he stitches me up, and the whole procedure was maybe 15 minutes. It was not a big deal.
You go home and
then the doctor says, you know, thank you very much. The other nurse comes back in. I'm still just hanging out. And she gives me the instructions of, you know, cleaning up and what to do when I get home. They give me a little ice bag to ice them up, and I iced them for about 3 days.
That's
Chip,
it.
Chip actually saw me ice them on Saturday.
I'm sorry, what?
Came to the UFC fight.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I had people over and I was icing my balls.
How much better was your trip to Omar's than to Beans?
Oh, way better. Yeah. So
you had a viewing party for the UFC.
Yeah.
The day after.
And you had ice on your balls.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
The first day, it just sucked because you were just laying around the house. I binge-watched Daredevil on Netflix, which is a good show. If you guys haven't seen it, you should check it out. And, I had people over. My left side's still a little tender. I'm wearing the J-strap here. And
that was your favorite one, right?
Yes, favorite one. It's giving me problems, man. but other than that, everything is going off without a hitch. I had no major swelling.
Wow.
And no... Great. Of any sort.
All right.
You know,
take
when
it
they
easy.
Told me it could be a possibility.
Right.
And no, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah.
That's all.
No, no.
So it went well.
Sorry, I didn't lose the testicle, guys.
Here comes the pain. That's the only thing.
That's the only thing. And he wanted to show me the tube.
Wow.
Yeah.
That and. Balls. Talented actress, comedians Natasha Leggero and Ricky Lindholm join us later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, we also have the grand prize drawing to send someone to Lollapalooza. And this morning, we'll qualify you for destination number 2 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015, which is the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. Kevin, this one's all about you.
Yeah, it's got a pretty good lineup.
That band Imagine Dragons we just heard, their plan. Also Kendrick Lamar, Snoop Dogg, Weezer, Death Cab, Major Lazer. Pretty good deal. Your chance to qualify is coming up. Monday morning means we check in with the TMZ.com newsroom. I believe our friend Dax Holt is on the phone in for Harvey today. Hey, Dax, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. Doing good. And you?
Does Harvey hate us? Why won't Harvey talk to us anymore? What do we do?
I think he's just fresh back from vacation. He's got a lot of things on his plate this morning.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You got to deal with me.
That's okay. We're always excited to get a chance to chat with you as well. Now, I want to start with the Caitlyn Jenner story that is continuing to unfold. I felt like there was a lot of heat at the moment that car accident happened a few months ago, and then it just kind of vanished. Have they been investigating it all this time, and they're just now announcing their findings? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, so they've been going over every bit of evidence since the car crash. You know, I didn't realize that they had this MTA video until the other day when we posted it on our website, but there was a bus going the opposite direction at the same time of the crash. The bus had about 6 cameras on it, so basically got every angle of this crash as it happened. And, I guess, honestly, good news for Caitlin, because this video shows that, you know, she it wasn't malicious. There was no texting. There was no drinking. There was no drugs. No, none of that. So it looks like all this is going to end up just being a misdemeanor. You see the Jenner SUV smash into the Lexus and into the black Prius, but that was kind of it. It was an accident. It was simply she was being inattentive at the time, and what cops call this is a DWHUA, driving with head up ass. That's
wow.
what they call it.
Yeah,
that was
a thing.
Yeah.
They call it, it's a thing, and they say, you know, it's just someone not paying attention, and unfortunately, someone lost their life in it, but that's all it is.
That just confirms what everyone thought, right?
Yeah, I mean... We even had the photos of the moment of the impact, and you could see Bruce at the time, you know, just driving, not talking on the phone, not smoking, nothing, just looking straight ahead and smashed right in the back of the other car.
But let me ask you guys this, because I'm a little bit troubled by this distinction. Why should it matter why you're distracted if you're distracted if the outcome is the same? If I'm just dozing off and not paying attention and inside my own head, why should there be fewer consequences for that than if I'm eating a sandwich or balancing a cup of coffee on my or talking on the phone or whatever? Does that make sense to you guys?
Yep.
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but I think there's a lot more distraction. Like, if you are texting, or you're making it even more of a dangerous situation than you were just kind of looking forward, and all of a sudden, all the cars were stopped ahead of you.
Yeah, that's a conscious effort.
That's really what happened, was there was, like, a light ahead, you know, and people were starting to stop, and, he didn't see it.
You know, I know that it's a double-edged sword being a celebrity. Sometimes it works in your favor, sometimes it doesn't. I do wonder if you had been in this crash, Dax, if you would get the same treatment that Caitlyn Jenner is going to get.
Well, I don't think everyone would be focusing on it like they did with Caitlyn.
Yeah, but I mean, that's part of why I think that sometimes the decisions get made the way they do is because they know the eyes of the world are on the case because a celebrity is involved.
And you know what? It can go either way. Sometimes it helps the celebrity out. Sometimes it doesn't. Like with Paris Hilton, we watched her have to go to jail and like all this other stuff that was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, but it was awesome.
Oh, it was.
I mean, that was great, right?
It was pretty great.
Okay. One more thing on Caitlyn before we move on, and that is this is the week of the ESPY Awards, right? We're going to see her on our TV. Is it Wednesday night, Dax? Is that right?
I think it is Wednesday, yeah, and she's going to go up get her award. I think a lot of people are actually really excited for this. I think we want to hear from Caitlyn. We want to see what she has to say. I think that the community embracing her is a big deal right now, and you know she's kind of got that spotlight.
Okay. All right, let's move on to another story that also is related to sports, and that is Serena Williams, who seems to be a flashpoint for some people. She's maybe the greatest female tennis player ever. I think was it her 21st Grand Slam win I think she just had when she won Wimbledon this year, but not everybody is crazy about it. What's going on, Dax?
Well, so here goes. So J.K. Rowling, the creator of Harry Potter, posted a tweet basically congratulating her, saying, she loves her, she's an athlete, what a role model, what a woman, and just praising Serena Williams. Well, some guy named Rob writes back to her and says, it's ironic that the main reason for her success is that she's built like a man. Well, J.K. did not take well to this. She then retweets the guy, says she's built like a man, and then goes, yeah, my husband looks just like this in a dress. You're an idiot. Posts a great photo of Serena in a red dress with high heels, just looking anything but like a man. I mean, she looks dead sexy in this photo. So, and she just blew this guy out of the water, and of course the internet went crazy over it, because J.K. Rowling, not someone you think would get into internet fights with people.
It does seem weird that she's got beef.
Yeah, she burned him, though.
And by the way, the reason Serena's body looks like that is because she's been a professional athlete since she's a teenager. She works to make her body look like that so that she can win tennis.
Yeah, and she's awesome.
She is awesome.
I mean, that's all it comes down to. Serena Williams is awesome.
That's our takeaway from today.
I like it.
All right. TMZ is the site, of course, and you can find many of their fine television shows on Channel 11 throughout the day. Also, TMZ Live at 4, and then TMZ Hollywood Sports on the Reels channel. Dax, tell Harvey we still love him, even if he doesn't return the feelings, okay? And we appreciate your time, and we'll do it again soon, sir. Have a great week.
Bye, guys.
So Taylor Swift is the devil, right?
She's the best
person
in the whole world ever.
We're all on the same page on that, right? She's the devil?
Dave and Christine are coming up to go see Taylor Swift with me in a couple weeks. Kevin, why don't you tag along? Why don't you come to the show, man? You have a great time. Hello?
Yeah, it's on. I just...
You know I wouldn't like that.
I think you
and
might...
By the way, neither should you.
Or Dave or Christine or any of the millions of other people who are going to see Taylor Swift on this tour. Look, she's a tremendous entertainer.
She's a bitch.
Did you see, you know, every night she brings people out on stage during the show.
I don't know that. No, because I don't follow her.
Did you see who she brought out on stage Friday night and her sold out Giant Stadium show?
No, again. Bruce Springsteen.
Your Women's World Cup soccer team.
Oh, that sucks.
All came out on stage with Taylor Swift. Kind of a neat moment. Well, look, I love T-Swizzle, but there is something that's very concerning to me that is in the news lately. This has been kind of been ramping up for the last few weeks or so, is this contract that she has photographers who cover her concerts sign. And some are saying that maybe it is tilted a little bit too much in the artist's favor and not as much in the photographer's favor as some might like.
She's a bitch.
She has them sign this letter. It's all, fancy legalese. But when you distill it down, basically, Taylor wants all the rights to all the photos. She says, all right, if you come to my show and you take a photo, you can put it in a magazine or on a website to review the show. But that's it. You can't sell it to somebody else, for instance. You can't then turn around and sell it to People or Us Weekly or something like that. Even though it's your photo that you took, it's my image. I want to own it. She also says that she can take your photos that you take, and she can use them as much as she wants for free. She doesn't have to pay you for them.
Okay.
That, that, that,
None of this makes sense.
That kind of doesn't sound like Taylor based on the big tantrum she's been throwing with the artists and their rights in her battle against Apple Music. It does seem contrary, doesn't it?
What about the part where she can destroy not only the picture but your equipment?
Yes.
She can destroy the camera if she wants.
That is what it also says in the contract and a bunch of other stuff. We wanted to find out more, so we asked Dave, hey, is there any way we can get Taylor back on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show? Because she's been very generous with her time in the past, and I think we may have her right now. Hi, Taylor Swift. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm talking to you on the telephone.
Yes, you actually can believe it because we set this up with your people, Taylor, and you knew we were going to be calling.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. It's so amazing.
You can't still be surprised by everything that happens in your life, Taylor.
Oh, my God. This is so amazing. I can't believe it.
So, Taylor, is this fair, the contract that you were asking photographers to sign when they want to come to your show and take pictures?
Yes.
Because
I'm Taylor.
Right.
And I'm Taylor Swift.
Right, but aren't they also artists? Don't you have respect for other artists that they should be able
to
own their work?
I love art, and I love artists, but I just love me more.
Ah.
Right, but if they take a photo of you, that's...
Mine!
But that's their work.
Mine.
But that's their work.
It's not yours.
Yeah, it kind of is because I have a contract.
You do have a contract.
If you want to take a picture of me in the 1989 tour, you have to sign the contract.
Got to sign the contract.
And that says that the photographer can post it once but then must destroy it. Okay, take it easy. but then must destroy it. But you can use it forever without paying. Right.
Then it's mine.
But why should you be allowed to use a photograph that they take without paying them for their work?
Because I'm Taylor.
Okay, that can't be your reason.
Mine!
All right, what about the point in the contract that Kevin mentioned that seems just insane, that you have the right to confiscate and or destroy photos or photographic equipment that the photographers use?
Yeah.
Without compensation?
Yeah.
How is that fair?
Mine!
Okay, you can't just yell mine. That can't be your defense. Explain it to us.
It's because I want total control of everything all the time.
Right.
And the only way I can do that is if I get to destroy things too.
But these photographers take pictures of other people, other tours. That's how they support themselves.
Yeah. So that camera's their livelihood, too.
Right.
You're essentially ruining their life.
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh.
All right, how about this in the contract you have with photographers? You may be injured by Taylor Swift or her team without warning or compensation.
Yeah, I get to do that.
That's absurd.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that's absurd, because I can do it.
Why would you want to injure people who are this just... Wait, what's happening?
It's my staff. My staff's coming.
Oh.
We're getting the staff together.
Are they marching?
Sounds like a march.
Whoa.
Hey, could you go kill those photographers for me?
No, don't kill anyone, Taylor.
Thank you.
What's happening?
Thank you so much.
It's Taylor. It's Tadoff Swindler. That's what's happening here.
This is very concerning for me.
Zig me. Yeah. We just killed some photographers because they didn't sign. Oh, my God, I can't believe how much they're bleeding.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Between 7 and 8 this morning, we're hooking you up with a pair of deluxe annual passes for Disneyland Resort. Disneyland, by the way, happiest place on earth. You guys know that?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's coming up right now. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Minions, number one by far, $115.2 million. And the big winner of the weekend. At a distant second was Jurassic World with $18 million, but it's already made all the money, so it doesn't really need any more. Inside Out was $17 million at number three. Terminator Genesis and The Gallows were the top five movies at the box office. Then Magic Mike XXL, Ted 2, Selfless, the new Ryan Reynolds, Ben Kingsley joint. That opened up at $5.4 million, making it number eight. Baahubali, The Beginning.
Sure.
In its debut, made $3.6 million, and then Max... The story of the war vet dog, 10th at the box office this weekend. You know what? Let me give this away now.
All right.
Now that I think of it, I have some passes to give you to the K-Rock screening of Pixels.
Yay!
the new Adam Sandler film starring Kevin James, also Josh Gad. I love Josh Gad so much. Aliens misinterpret the classic arcade games that we send out there into space, and they think it's war, so they send back at us also video games, but these ones are big and deadly. See?
Is this animated?
No, this is a real. This is a live-action film.
All right.
Based on a true story, by the way.
Is that right?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Adam Sandler stars, Kevin James, Michelle Monaghan, Josh Gad, as I mentioned. If you'd like to see Pixels, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We're having a screening on July the 22nd at the Sony Studios lot. Pixels is in the theaters everywhere July the 24th. But if you call me now, first five callers through at that number will get to see it before anybody else. This was disturbing news. Bobby Brown's a father again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, his wife, Alicia Etheridge, gave birth to a daughter on Saturday. It's the couple's second child, but it's Bobby's sixth. Bobby Brown has six children.
Yeah.
Of course, Bobby Christina, the daughter with the late Whitney Houston.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Right? So he doesn't need to be a dad again, right?
No. He doesn't. He really doesn't.
That makes me unhappy.
Why is Omar getting vasectomies and Bobby Brown is
right?
procreating?
Exactly. I guess it's his prerogative to get one or not, but apparently he's chosen not to. Chosen not to get the vasectomy. Hey, you guys remember former Eagles bassist Randy Meisner?
Sure.
Played with the Eagles for many years. He is getting around-the-clock supervision because he is threatening to kill everyone with an AK-47.
What?
And swallow all of his own medication at once in a murder-suicide sort of deal. That's his plan.
It seems like
that's his plan. That's what he would like to do.
Wow. So he's really going to take it to the limit.
You know what? Ralph's doesn't go in the file because he pulled it off. Beans does.
Why does mine go in the file?
Yours that was terrible.
That was his most popular Eagle song that he wrote.
That's... the way it goes, man.
Take it to the limit.
The way it goes, yep. You forced it in.
Yeah, it turns out Randy has been diagnosed as bipolar and has some significant mental issues.
Wow.
So his longtime friend James Newton filed papers in April asking that the court supervise a conservatorship over his medical and money matters because he is no longer capable of handling his own affairs. And so the court apparently will have a hearing in September to see if that will happen or not. I say they should get a move on that hearing. They should just, if he's threatening to murder everyone with an AK-47,
is there a fast track?
Do we have some sort of short form we can fill out for the crazy form that we? Do you have a crazy form B, or is it just the A? Because I'd like to get Randy some help right now.
It does seem like this is paperwork that could be expedited.
Yeah, it seems sad. John Stamos is getting some help. He has checked himself into a facility for treatment. This is 12 days after he got busted on his DUI charges in Beverly Hills. He went in on June the 24th, excuse me. So apparently getting some help, and hope everything works out well for him. As opposed to Donald Trump, I don't hope everything works out well for him. He's been on a tear, man. Just on a tear. Did you see Friday night's news conference here in L.A. where he brought out family members of people who had been killed by illegal immigrants?
I did not
see them out in front of the cameras.
I did not see that, no.
Yes.
But it's not surprising.
That is a hot-button topic right now with a couple of very high-profile cases going on.
Where is the outrage?
But here's the thing. Whatever percentage of people are murdered by legal aliens, that means the other vast majority are murdered by American citizens.
Yeah. Ralph, all Mexicans are on drugs and rape. Come
but
on.
I'm saying,
and murder.
Get rid
you know
of
that.
All American citizens if the majority of murders are committed by American citizens? I don't understand the whole point of this.
Because you're applying logic to a crazy man.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah. Also, on Saturday, he was in Phoenix. And Trump said that he's going to make America great again. And he called out former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, who's also been in the mix for president, for running for president. He said, how can I be tied to this guy? He's terrible. Jeb Bush, I don't get it. I love the Mexican people, Trump continued. I respect Mexico. But the problem we have is their leaders are much sharper, smarter, and more cunning than our leaders, and they're killing us at the border. 15,000 people attended the rally in Phoenix.
Yeah, he's picking up steam, man. Every city he goes to, he's bigger than the last.
It's It's go time.
It's a thing, you guys.
What? It's magic.
Wait a minute. It's real?
It's real.
Mm-hmm. You don't know, man.
You don't know, man.
I don't.
And I am really looking forward to this event. I don't know if you guys are drummer fans. You guys drumming fans at all?
Sure.
I like beats.
Beer Mug. Beer Mug likes beats. But two of the greatest drummers of all time are two brothers named Carmine Appice and Vinny Appice. Yeah, you heard me. They have the exact same last name, and they pronounce it in two completely different ways.
Okay.
Which always made me furious. But they're two of the great drummers of all time, and they're doing a concert called Drum Wars. They're bringing it to L.A., and I want to give people a heads up. These guys played on stuff from Ozzy and Black Sabbath and Dio and John Lennon and Vanilla Fudge and Rod Stewart. Two of the great rock drummers of all time together. They're doing an event in July at the Whiskey on the 16th. And then they're also going to do a show in Vegas on the 18th, too. So I want to give people a heads up if you're a drumming fan at all. These two guys are legends. You get a chance to see them together.
I, myself, I'm a drummer. Well, so, and I've been lucky to have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz. Okay. And he loves all sorts of stuff. I'm not closed-minded.
Right.
But that aside, let me see what else we could talk about here.
I'm glad you were exposed to things. You should be exposed to Ebola.
let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
Okay.
Right. I love beats. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I could get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys ever need a drummer,
Thank you, Mike.
He should join that tour.
He should go to Carmine and Vinny and say, if you guys ever need a drummer,
I can
get behind a kit and really play some drums for you two. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ken Jeong, Dr. Ken, celebrates his 46th birthday today. We have confirmation. It is for real.
Oh, good.
It's an actual birthday.
And he's got his own series debuting this fall, I understand.
Yes, Dr. Ken. Tom Kenny, you know him probably best as SpongeBob SquarePants. Great actor, great voice artist. 53 years old today. Cameron Crowe is 58, the director and writer. Cheech of Cheech and Chong fame is 69. Harrison Ford celebrates his 73rd birthday today. And actor Patrick Stewart, soon to be seen in a new series as well called Blunt Talk, which is created and produced by Seth MacFarlane. Looks very funny. 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Larry King is a guy who's miraculously still alive, right? He's had a career for 120 years.
I'm a professional, baby.
He was a newspaper man for many years, decades on radio, decades on television. Now he still does an interview show on Aura TV on the internet. But from time to time, he likes to take to Twitter and share his deepest and innermost thoughts. And that's why we created a game that we call Real King, Fake King. So I'm going to read a tweet for you guys that might be an actual tweet from Larry King's assistant that he has called him up on the phone and told him to put on the internet because Larry doesn't personally tweet. What do you think that is, Ralph? You think he can't handle the tiny buttons on a phone?
He can't be bothered. He's Larry King.
He's Larry King. Okay. So you tell us, guys, whether it's a real Larry King tweet or one that I made up to sound like Larry King. Allie, you'll keep score. Kevin, as usual, you go first. Here's tweet number one.
Larry.
What? Is that your guess?
No.
Why are there flies? Why are there flies?
Why are there flies?
Real King, Fake King.
That's Real King.
That is Real King. All right.
Why are there flies?
Why are there flies?
That's just so stupid.
That's so dumb. It has to be real.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's got to be real.
Who would make that up?
I think he knows why there's flies.
No one knows, Allie. It's a mystery. It's one of Jesus's mysteries.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's your guess?
I'm going to say real.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
There you go. Fake Larry King that time. Mm. All right. Next up. So 000 is where we are. A day. Ralph, you're up first. A day seems better when the sky is blue.
Ugh.
A day seems better when the sky is blue. Real King, Fake King.
Fake.
Right. Whoever tweeted that or made that up should be
right. It's so horrible. It's not even interesting.
It's definitely fake because I think he appreciates clouds and different weather patterns.
Sure,
I'm with the girl.
Yeah,
fake.
Well, Glenn will be there.
That is a real Larry King tweet, you guys. No one on the board yet.
Wow.
All right, up next, Allie, you're first. I don't see pinky rings anymore.
That was real?
How is no? Didn't we get the first one right?
Yeah, I thought that Kevin. And
I thought everybody was a zero.
No.
Well, I'm not the one keeping score, so whoever's keeping score, keep track, please.
Kevin and Ralph got the first one.
Right.
Right, because we said fake.
And then
was fake.
I said that that one was fake.
No, I said it was real, the first one.
Yeah, I think you guys were zeros around the board. That's what I heard.
What?
Yeah. How is it
but
zeros?
Allie said that was real, the second one, so she definitely got a point on that one.
Okay. All right. This is a shaky game right here.
Well, blame your scorekeeper over there. She's the one who's supposed to be keeping track.
See, here's the thing. I had you guys down as one, and then he said, all right, zero's
yes,
all around.
Because
and I thought, well,
we
that's
got
weird.
The first one right,
yes.
And you got the second one right. We're all tied with one.
But he said after the first one, he said zero's all around, and that made no sense to me, but nobody questioned it.
Hey, pretty boy, just read them. We'll keep track.
Don't try to help.
By the way,
we're all tied
up. 1-1-1.
All right. One.
Stop talking about the score. You don't get to talk about the score anymore.
Allie, you're up first. I don't see pinky rings anymore.
Ooh, see, I think he does. I think he hangs out. He's at the diner with some old school kind of fellas. I think it's a real king. Wait, fake.
What?
Come on.
Is it real or fake?
Don't sabotage the game.
I'm so tired. You're fake king.
You're faking us out, Allie.
Fake king.
I'm going to say real.
Real. Absolutely real.
Yes.
Will Chip? Glenda be there?
Chip, you got to be right there on the button if you would, please.
Right, so Ralph and I got a point.
Maybe we should just stop this now.
No, I feel like it's going well.
Let's just play a song.
Look, we played this game a bunch of times and it's always been fine.
Yeah,
why is
today
it
it's not good.
Rails today? What happened?
Let's just move on.
All right. Real king, fake king. Golf is the hardest sport that looks the easiest. Kevin.
Man, that sounds so Larry Kingish. False.
You're taking the Allie McKay route.
Fake.
You give the logic for one answer, then give the opposite.
Fake.
I'm saying absolutely real.
Absolutely fake.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
It is fake.
Thank
absolutely
you.
It is fake. All right. What's the score, please, Allie, dare I ask?
Kevin 3, Ralph 2, Allie 2.
I'm ahead.
Yeah. It's probably wrong.
How we know it's wrong.
I love Bugs Bunny.
Real.
I love Bugs Bunny.
Everyone loves Bugs Bunny, including Larry King. Real.
But would he tweet that?
Oh, more than anything.
All right.
That's what he cares about most.
Fake.
I'm going real as well.
Will Glenda be there?
Boom, I told you. Everyone
very
loves
nice.
Bugs Bunny.
Very nice. Here's the flip side. I hate plastic utensils. I believe Allie's up first.
Real.
Which hurts your heart because you have a lot of them in your bag
over there right now.
Fake.
I think Larry's a guy who goes to a lot of delis and stuff, gets a lot of takeouts. I don't think plastic bothers him. And he's a kid from Brooklyn. What does he care? I say fake.
Will Glenda be there?
Wow,
that
real. Is a real Larry King tweet. Okay. All right, we're getting near the end here, mercifully. What's the score, please?
Kevin is in the lead with 4. Ralph and I tied up at 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I do.
We got to figure out a way to bring Kevin down. Let's just keep playing.
I don't think I've ever won.
I don't think so either. All right, up next. If you're going hang gliding, count me out.
There's fake. There's no way he's thought of hang gliding for 30 years.
Fake. No time those words ever entered his life. That's not even an option. Fake.
I'm just going to say real just to go against the grain.
Will Glenda be there?
You are correct. That is real.
You don't
so we have
a lot of credit for that. You're just being
contrary.
The opposite. Yes.
Yes.
Fine. Whatever.
So we have a tie game. So let's see if we can get a winner out of this one.
All right.
I know there's American cheese, but is there Canadian cheese?
No.
I know there's American cheese.
It's not a question.
But is there Canadian cheese?
Is it real or fake?
There's no Canadian cheese, in case anyone was curious.
But is it a real Larry King tweet or a fake Larry King tweet?
There's no Canadian cheese, in case anyone's playing at home.
All right, but what's your answer on the real or fake?
It's not my turn. I think it's Monkey's turn.
Monkey?
Go Kev Dog. Go Kev Dog.
That is fake. That is not
Kev Dog says fake.
Yep.
Yeah, Larry knows there's no Canadian cheese.
Right.
That's fake.
It's absolutely fake, but I'm going to say real.
Will Glenda be there?
And Allie is your winner, ladies and gentlemen. Allie wins the game.
If you're happy winning that way,
yeah.
I guess.
If she's happy with coming up with the strategy that got her the win, yes, she is.
Yeah,
this has
sure.
been Real King, Fake King.
Is it Larry King or are we fake?
21. And now a drum roll.
This is the time where we do the grand prize drawing to find out who is going to Chicago for Lollapalooza to see Florence and the Machine, Alabama Shakes, the Monsters of Men, Paul McCartney, Tame Impala, and so much more. We qualified you all last week here on the World Famous K-Rock. Only one can win. Here's Kevin with that answer.
Mason Eng.
From Valencia?
Yeah, you know him?
What? You know him? What are the chances?
Yeah!
From Valencia, yeah.
Mason, congratulations. You are going to Lollapalooza. Have a great, great time. This week's Road Trip USA, by the way, is also awesome. It's the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. Imagine Dragons, Kendrick Lamar, Hozier, Snoop Dogg, Weezer, Death Cab, Major Lazer, and more. 9 o'clock this morning, we qualify you for that. And then throughout the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9, go to KROQ.com for all the details.
So Conor McGregor was going to fight this past Saturday night, and he was going to fight Jose Aldo, who's the champion in that weight class. Jose broke a rib, so he's out. So they bring in Chad Mendes, and it was an unbelievable fight. Now, a lot of people are prone to questioning what's going on, like they have conspiracy theories and stuff. The people that I were watching it, that I was watching the fight with, said, "No way will they let Conor McGregor lose because the big payday is Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo, and if he loses, then Chad Mendes fights him."
Mm-hmm. So they, he's already fought him and already lost to him.
Right.
A couple times, yeah.
So it was a great fight. It got into the second round, and right near the second round, Conor McGregor hits Chad Mendes, and Chad Mendes goes down, and the ref jumps in pretty quickly.
No.
It was a pretty quick stoppage. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Right, I'm no expert. I'm not saying I know.
Sure.
Here's what I'm saying. I've seen guys come back from that if they give him another beater. But there's only 3 seconds left in the round.
You think that ref was concerned about the clock?
I probably not.
No.
But there's no doubt in your mind?
No doubt.
Zero.
No.
What was the blow that made you feel the fight should be over, Allie?
When he got knocked. I mean, he tagged him, and you see it in his face. He's done. And then he goes to the ground, and he starts tagging him more, and then they called it off. He looked done when he got the initial hit.
Yeah, before he even hit the
ground.
Kevin, is it possible that you already were in a conspiratorial frame of mind as a result of people you were watching the fight with, so you were looking for some support for that theory?
Yes, that's very possible. But also, I also did have the thought, wow, he stopped that right away.
Yeah,
it's very possible that he saw in Chad Mendes' eyes that he was gone.
Right.
So, you know, what do I know?
You're definitely not alone in this, because people that I was watching the fight with were like, oh, it's so fixed. He could relax for like 30 seconds, gone to round three, and that would have been it. Like, people were convinced right then at my house.
I'm still not convinced.
Really?
But let me ask you guys this. Is part of it, I just spent $60. I was hoping to get more fight out of my money.
No.
Is that part
no.
of it as well?
No.
Leading up to that fight, I got my money's worth times 20.
Yeah, Robbie Lawler.
Unbelievable.
That may have been the best night of fights I've ever seen.
Ever.
It was really, really worth it, regardless of who won that fight.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you guys this question. And again, I taped the fight but haven't watched it yet, because that's how I roll. And that is, wouldn't you rather, in every case, have the ref stop the fight too early than too late?
Sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're bummed out a little bit, you go, well, let's err on the side of caution and maybe not kill Chad Mendes.
Well, and not only that, and Chad Mendes made no qualms about it after. Usually somebody would be like, oh,
no
man,
complaint.
They stopped the fight. I was fine. Everything was cool. That would usually happen.
Yeah,
but he was
true.
Like, no,
that's true.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you guys a couple of questions. Again, as somebody who didn't see it, and I'm super bummed out that I missed it, because it does sound like a great night. Two things that I saw a lot about online. One is there a point at which there is too much blood for you to enjoy a UFC fight?
Yes, there is.
I mean, the mat
going
down guys' backs from when they were like hanging on to it was the bloodiest I've ever seen.
Yeah, I do not enjoy that blood.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't enjoy that.
Oh,
either.
My God.
We want to see broken bones, but not blood, right?
I don't really want to see a broken bone either.
No.
How about a nose? Broken nose. That's
broken
nose
is fine. But
shattered.
That's the reason for the blood. That is always followed by blood. So,
yeah.
And that's not good.
Yeah, that's a lot of blood, man. That's when you start to go, why? What kind of an animal am I to watch this and enjoy it? All right. So thing two is, it's 2015. There are some great musical artists available in the world today to appear on live sporting events.
Is this the first time that the UFC has ever had a live performance before each fighter comes in?
I believe so.
Because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, what's that about?
I don't know.
By the way, that's interesting. So how do you choose Sinead O'Connor and Stained's Aaron Lewis as your entertainment? How is that decision
made? That's always his song. He always walks out to Foggy Dew. He just does. That's his song.
So just have your man do it live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense.
That makes sense. But then I was thinking, man, whoever got Aaron Lewis got ripped off.
Yeah, that was so, it was altogether a downer. Like, it was just like, wah, wah. It was such a bummer to me. But then when Aaron Lewis started singing, I'm like, wow, wait a minute. Yeah. Amp this up. It was like the most depressing, like rock, country, burp, burp. Like, at least if you're going to do like a country patriotic song, what was that?
Yeah. What did Aaron Lewis sing?
Something sad.
I don't even know.
I don't even know.
It's a country song about America. I don't know.
Okay.
Here's the end
of
weird
choice.
Here's the end of the fight, though, for those of you that didn't see or hear.
With 20 seconds to go. Big, deep breaths by Chad Mendes. Listen to this place. Oh! Look at the clock closely. 10 seconds.
Oh, he's out.
Could he finish him here?
That's it.
It's all over. Conor McGregor is a UFC interim featherweight champion.
Wow. 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 Unbelievable.
Hold. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't hear Joe Rogan speechless very often.
No,
do
you don't.
That's awesome. All right. Hey, let's open up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is one of the cool things that we get to give away about once a year is all, because it's an awesome prize. It's a pair of deluxe annual passes for Disneyland Resort. That is a full year at Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks for you if you call now at 1-800-520-1067.
So we're saying
you are going to have to earn them. However, this game is called Be Our Guest. So you will not only be our guest at Disneyland if you win, you will be our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show if you call right now. We are looking for you to do an impersonation, an impression of your favorite Disney character. All right, you got that? Whoever you love from Disney TV and movies, we want to hear your impression of that character. Call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, you can sing if you want, if that's, if you're a Beauty and the Beast fan or whatever it is, or you can just say it if it's a character, whatever. So we want to hear your best Disney impersonations. You can be our guest. Call now. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Talented comedians and actresses Natasha Leggero and Ricky Lindholm are going to be here next hour from Comedy Central's Another Period. Very funny. Very funny, ladies. Looking forward to that coming up. Right now, though, how about a pair of deluxe annual passes for Disneyland Resort? We're talking about a full year at Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks at 1-800-520-1067. With a game we're calling this time, Be Our Guest.
Be Our Guests, be our guests. Impersonations is the test. All you do is be the best. Shuri and we'll provide the rest. You can sing, you can dance. After all, this is your chance. Win the passes and you will be hashtag blessed. Go on and do what you do. Take a chance and then you'll be our guest. Be our guest, be our guest.
Wow, sensitive side of Omar since he got his vasectomy, huh?
Yeah, he's still on pain pills. Right?
Sounds like he might be.
Guy loses his balls and all of a sudden he's super sensitive.
All right, so we're asking you to sing or say an impression, an impersonation of your favorite Disney character at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Kim and San Dimas on line two, please? Kim's going to entertain us here a little bit this morning, trying to win those deluxe annual passes for Disneyland. Hi, Kim.
Hi. All right, I have to preface this with saying I am not a singer. I'm calling to embarrass myself on the radio to win my kids some annual pass.
All right.
We applaud your effort. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm singing Little Town from Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
There goes the baker with his tray, like always, the same old bread and rolls to sell. Every morning just the same since the morning that we came to this poor provincial town. Good morning, Belle. Good morning.
I gotta say, for someone who can't sing, that was pretty good, actually. Yeah. All right, you are in the running. Please hang on. Thank you. Let's go to Joey, line three, please. He is in Toluca Lake. He's got some old school Disney for us. Hey, Joey.
Hi. How you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Okay. I'm the best Disney character. I hope that you
How often do you pull out your Donald Duck impression?
I can answer that, by the way, way too often. Right? All like of his friends are like, stop it!
Tell us the truth, Joey, seriously.
Right, I'm going to put you on hold.
Is he faking it? Is he faking it because he doesn't want to answer that question? He's embarrassed. All right, who do you like next, Kevin?
By the way, that's no...
Sorry.
You know what I mean? Like
doing Donald Duck.
Yeah, I think you were.
Just a sneeze.
All right, let's go to Jesse and Linwood. Hi there.
Hi, good morning. I'm going to do Roz from Monsters, Inc.
Okay.
I'm always watching you. Hold on.
Hold on after 1 second is not usually a good sign.
Yeah.
All right, try again.
I'm always watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
Jesse, we love you.
Don't get us wrong.
You're one of our favorite people. I would like you to be my roommate, but you're not going to win these tickets.
So go ahead and hang up with yourself. Thank you for the call, though.
It's not going to happen.
Hey, let's go down to Fullerton on line 7, please. I think Sherry is going to sing for us. I enjoy the singing, I think.
All right. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, I am going to sing for you.
Whoa. What's happening right now?
Give people a chance to get their coffee before you hit them with that kind of positivity.
Yes, I have 30 ounces every morning, and it's already kicking in.
All right.
Okay. All right, what are you going to sing? Who's your character?
It's Snow White, and it's when she's standing at the well thinking of her true love coming to find her.
Now, you sound like a crazy Disney-phile. Like, you're the type of person who would really get your money's worth out of these passes.
Oh, I would definitely.
Also, okay. how many cats do you have?
I have zero cats.
Okay.
Wow, that's zero. A surprise. I would have lost that bet.
Right?
All right, let's hear a little Snow White. Here's Sherry and Fullerton. Good luck.
I'm wishing for the one I love to find me today. I'm hoping and I'm dreaming of the nice things he'll say.
All right. Okay.
All right. Got it, Sherry. Thank you.
Hold on.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Hang on. You're one step closer.
I feel like if we don't pick her, we're going to get killed.
Let's go to line 6, Ontario. Is this a tough impression, this one that he's doing, that Leonard is doing for us?
I don't know.
Leonard?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Who are you going to do?
I'll do Goofy.
Is that tough? Is Goofy a hard one to do?
Here's the thing with Bean and I. All impressions are impossible
right,
for us.
Exactly.
So. All right, you're going to do Goofy.
Gosh, Kevin and Bean, I couldn't use those tickets. Hot dog.
Right. Okay. You know, we like you a lot, Leonard, right?
All right, let's go to line 4, please. In Long Beach, Gabriel is joining us. I think he may be doing some singing for us.
Hey, Gabriel.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. What are you going to do?
I'm going to do I Can Show You the World by Aladdin.
Aladdin, okay.
Aladdin. You ready?
Yep.
Aladdin.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your
That's
heart
not terrible.
Decide?
Line 5, Nicole joins us from... Corona.
Hey, we don't have any control over when that phone rings. That's not a sound effect that Bean fires.
Nicole, I understand you're going to be doing some singing as well. Who are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Okay, here we go.
I want to be where the people are. I want to see, them dancing, walking around on those. What do you call them?
Oh, feet.
Up where they run, up where they stay, all day long.
Right. Dogs are barking all over the Southland right now. All right, we have time for one more. Let's go to line 1. Jeff and Laverne is doing the easiest Disney impersonation of all of them. Let's see how he does.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
All right, let me try to get this.
What are you going
to
do?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Hi, Kevin and Bear. Can you please fire Bear Mouse? He's a center.
All right.
Okay, all right. Well, that's Mickey Mouse.
Level of difficulty maybe not so high.
All right, exactly, yeah. All right, guys. Well, you heard it. We got Beauty and the Beast. We got Donald Duck. We had a little Aladdin. We had a little Ariel from The Little Mermaid. We had some Goofy. We had some Snow White and Mickey Mouse there. Who early favorites. Who do you guys like?
I liked Kim and Gabriel.
I like Kim that was singing for her kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked her the best, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to line two, San Dimas, and say hello to Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
A pair of deluxe annual passes for Disneyland Resorts. A full year at Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got these tickets all week long, and we appreciate you calling to play Be Our Guest.
Be Our Guest. Be Our Guest. Be Our Guest.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Comic-Con weekend just behind us, Ralph. I have to ask, what did you think of all of the various trailers that we saw, the Batman Superman and the Star Wars? What floats your boat from this weekend?
It all looks good. I mean, yeah, by all accounts, everybody was really well received. The Deadpool trailer is getting a ton of positive press. A lot of people wishing Star Wars had released a trailer. Instead, they did a little behind-the-scenes footage, which was pretty cool to see JJ.
It was cool, though, right?
Together.
It's funny, though, with Star Wars especially, anything, just behind-the-scenes, anything is just everybody eats it up.
Well, I think people were just thrilled to watch JJ work a lot with practical special effects versus mm-hmm. CGI, which is sort of what ruined the franchise for a lot of people when Lucas did his consequent films. And I just think it was a good weekend. A lot of major studios not present for Comic-Con.
Yeah. Why do you think that was?
A lot of it was timing. They didn't have something in the pipeline for release that would benefit from the cost it would take to go and put on a show at Comic-Con. So they took this year off and... But the stuff that was there got really well received for the most part. And I can't think of anybody who walked away saying, oh, that looks awful.
Yeah.
Everyone, usually once a year, there's one panel where everybody goes, I was looking forward to that until I saw the footage. Now I'm really scared.
Did you guys see the Walking Dead trailer
for the upcoming season?
Boy, that looks good.
And the Fear of the Walking Dead trailer, too. Both of them look awesome. And the Supergirl stuff that I guess went over really well. I'm surprised Allie's not already in line for Star Wars, by the way. I'm surprised we just started talking to her from in front of the arc light every morning.
This is where the line ends.
She's in line right now.
Studio.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is a Monday morning, and we thank you for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I'm just more concerned about Allie's Kraken necklace.
Her what?
Why do you have a necklace of the Kraken? I don't understand why you... Are you a member of Spectre, an evil organization or something? What is with your jewelry today? Why are you wearing the Kraken around your neck?
Like an octopus-ish. It's a cool necklace, no?
Are you part of Hydra?
Is it weird?
I don't understand.
That scary?
It's a massive octopus that you're wearing around your neck.
I don't know if it's massive.
It's like a Flava Flav sized clock-sized octopus around your neck.
He asked you about Hydra. There was a yes or no answer right there, and nothing came from you. What is it?
No, I'm not
you
Hydra.
You are not Hail Hydra?
Thank you. All Thank right. you for asking.
It's just an interesting fashion choice is the giant octopus necklace. Maybe that's the thing this year. I don't know. I haven't been to Milan yet to see what they're wearing on the catwalk. Maybe octopi are in, so we'll have to wait and see. Today is Monday. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Minions, in its debut, $115.2 million made it number one by far. Still not you go.
No. Just out of Minions, thought Dave was complaining that there wasn't enough of a minion named Dave in it, so he didn't really enjoy it as much as he hoped to.
You've seen the giant poster of the minion over his desk, right?
Yes.
Yeah. In the office.
His legitimate complaint was there wasn't enough minion named Dave, as if the minions aren't interchangeable, by the way.
Okay. Good story.
Right?
Yep. Minions, although it made $115 million this weekend, still not the number one largest animated opener ever. I was surprised to find out the honor goes to Shrek the Third. It was the biggest money-making animated film ever for an opening weekend.
That is shocking.
Isn't that crazy that did that well for its opening weekend? Jurassic World was second. Distant second. $18 million made it number two. Then Inside Out, Terminator Genesis, and The Gallows were the top five movies at the box office. Magic Mike XXL, Ted 2, Selfless in its debut, $5.4 million, the new Ryan Reynolds film. Bahubali.
Sure.
The Beginning. An Indian film opened in just 170 theaters nationwide, but it made $3.6 million in North America. It's an action film out of India. And then Max, number 10 at the box office. this weekend. Bill Cosby's wife says the nearly 50 women who are leveling accusations of being drugged and raped by Cosby were in fact willing to take the drugs and had sex with him consensually, says Camille
what?
Cosby.
Okay. Why would she?
She says, sure, Bill's a philanderer, he's a cheater, but these women all willingly took the drugs and had sex with her husband. He's a cheater, but he's not a rapist, is what she
said.
But
if they were going to have sex with her husband, they don't need the drugs.
Dude, what if they just wanted to enjoy the cool, cool flavor of a Quaalude?
Wow, that's shocking.
So these 50 women are lying.
Wow.
How can she be that deep in denial? Well, some are saying it's because she is his business manager, and she is saying whatever she has to desperately try to keep their ship afloat because she knows that it's all over.
You liar!
Friends and family close to the Cosby said they are closing ranks, desperate to turn the situation around, cutting off friends and family because they've got a lot of people who initially were supporting them, like Jimmy Walker, Jimmy J.J. Walker, was at one time defending Cosby. Now, at this point, he called recently Cosby the O.J. Simpson of comedy. So he has turned around on Cosby. The only person still defending him, I believe, is Whoopi Goldberg. But everyone else pretty much has left ship. So Camille Cosby, friends are saying whatever she has to try to scrub her husband's image. But I think that just makes her look like either a liar or an idiot.
Agreed.
Or both. Sad news. Speaking of sad news, Omar Sharif has passed away. Best known for his roles in the classic Hollywood films Lawrence of Arabia and Dr. Zhivago. Died at the age of 83 of a heart attack. He had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's earlier this year, back in May. So friends and family saying, although they're sad to have lost him, it's not always the worst thing.
Yeah,
there are some things worse than death. And that's
Ralph, you mentioned earlier that you watched the Glenn Campbell documentary.
Yes.
Devastating, right?
It is brutal. Just heartbreaking on so many levels. And I think Chip went to Seattle to watch it with you, didn't he? Isn't that where you guys had your
Yeah, you know, that's a party. You know, I was talking about Alzheimer's and
the
guy.
As if it's not depressing enough to be with Bean on a major holiday, yeah. Then you got to watch an Alzheimer documentary.
Watching a guy perform with his family who he doesn't even recognize. That's party time.
Happy Independence Day.
On the 4th
Happy
of July
4th.
Yeah.
It was the 4th of July, Chip. That was our lead up to the party.
I got like it's like a firecracker.
I got to be honest on this one, and maybe I'm alone, but that's on Chip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Not to blame the victim or anything here, but
if you crawl over the gate and get into the lion's den at the zoo, and then you get mauled, who's the fool?
That's
it's
on
not
you.
The lion. You don't blame the lion.
This is why you fail.
This is why you fail, Chip. You are a major fail. And an anonymous donor is offering $1 million for the ruby red slippers of Dorothy Gale. Who's got the slippers? Who's got the goddamn slippers?
Don't give Bean something else to obsess over.
Where are the slippers?
Where's the plane and where are the slippers?
I need an update.
These are the iconic ruby red slippers worn by Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz. They were stolen from the Judy Garland Museum in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, where I'm sure Bean has spent many a vacation.
Sure.
10 years ago. And now someone is offering $1 million reward for the return of the slippers. Why so soon, I might ask.
What is the deal with that timing, Ralph?
I don't know. It's the 10-year anniversary of the theft in August. The museum spokesperson said someone has stepped up and offered a $1 million reward for the slippers' return. So if you have those stolen ruby red slippers, turn them in. Damn it.
By the way,
that should take care of it.
I think
you should talk to that witch, too, while we're talking. We're thinking about it. Maybe she's had something to do with this. That green lady, I think she's a good suspect. Stop it.
Yep. What? Sophaba.
Yep.
Stop
That's
it. I told you to stop it.
Yep, he did.
Okay. I have a question, you guys. And I think
you stop it, too.
Yeah, but go ahead, Bean.
This is a legitimate
question. He, Bean,
question.
And she, Bean, no longer get to ask questions.
This is a question about people who steal the ruby red slippers, people who steal the Mona Lisa, people who steal the Scream. When you steal something that there are so few of in the world that everyone knows they're stolen, what's the point of it? Mm. You can't resell them. Is it just to have them in your basement and go, yep, there it is? Is that
it? You put it on display in your evil lair and you wait for James Bond to show up and then you can say, that, Mr. Bond, was one of my best crimes ever. You never found me, did you?
Okay. All
evil geniuses. That's who steals that stuff. Evil geniuses.
Asked and answered then.
Imagine what Bean's lair looks like. inside some volcano somewhere, what his lair looks like.
Yeah. If he's got a naked OJ in his house,
right.
That he's willing
imagine
to show
imagine what his
people.
Evil lair looks like. Right. Can you imagine? Today's celebrity birthdays. Ken Jeong, the funny, talented Dr. Ken, is 46 years old today. Tom Kenny is 53. SpongeBob SquarePants fame. Cameron Crowe, writer and director, is 58
years old. Oh, he used to be so
today.
Good.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Those were good times. Cheech Marin, 69 years old today. Harrison Ford is a mumbly 73. And Sir Patrick Stewart celebrates his 75th birthday today. Make it so, number one. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Earlier this morning, we did a grand prize drawing to send a Kevin and Bean listener to Chicago for Lollapalooza to see Alabama Shakes and Paul McCartney and Florence and the Machine and so much more. That winner's name was...
Mason Eng. Mason Eng.
From Valencia?
From... Stop that. From Valencia.
Oh.
How'd you know? That's impressive. Thank you, Mason. Appreciate you listening. Congratulations. Enjoy your time in Chicago. We are up next on road trip number 2 of KROX Road Trip USA 2015, and this is the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas with Death Cab for Cutie and Major Lazer, Kendrick Lamar, Imagine Dragons, Snoop Dogg, Weezer, so much more. Get all the details at KROX.com. Your chance to qualify coming up at 9 o'clock this morning.
We talk a lot about stupid people in Florida, but they're everywhere. They're in Texas as well. Mm-hmm. And this next story is unbelievable. And that is two guys in Texas. One guy saw an alligator, and there was a sign that said, hey, by the way, alligators will kill you, so don't interact with them. And he yelled, F that alligator, and he jumped in.
Yes, we covered this last – there's an update on this story. We covered this last week on Death Corner about the guy who originally jumped into the swamp and got killed by an alligator. And yes, you're right, Kevin. His last words were – F the alligators.
Right.
He took off his shirt, he took his wallet out, and he jumped into the water and almost immediately started screaming for help as he got dragged down by a 10-foot alligator in the bayou. And by the way, not only were there posted signs that said, no swimming, alligators, the people who worked there at the marina, they said to the man, do not go swimming. There are alligators in the water. Stay out of the water. I mean, they gave him every possible warning. He ignored them all. He got taken down by an alligator. By the way, it is the first person killed in Texas by an alligator in 179 years. So you got to be really stupid in Texas to be killed by an alligator. You got to make every possible wrong decision to be killed by an alligator, right?
I feel like we're better off as a society without
I think
that
so, guy.
Yeah, that was Darwinism in action.
Correct.
That was Tommy Woodward, 28 years old. So we told you about that last week. That guy got eaten by an alligator, right? Now, Kevin, you want to pick up what happens next?
Well, his friend, to get revenge, mm-hmm. killed that alligator. Because that alligator killed his friend.
Now,
what?
To get revenge.
It wasn't.
He had it coming.
It wasn't the alligator's fault that a man jumped into his pool, was it?
Well, no, of course not. But his friend didn't see it that way, Bean. His friend's name is Bear, by the way. Just for the record.
I
think this is a real story. I'm not positive. Now, as we say it out loud, it sounds fake.
It is a real story. Right. Bear told the Houston Chronicle the alligator had to go. That's what happens when you kill someone. But I do have a lot of unanswered questions. So we asked Dave, can we get Bear on the phone? And I believe we have him on the line right now. Hi, Bear.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Well, we're doing fine. And I'm sorry for your loss of your friend Tommy. That must have been very tough for you.
Tommy! I miss you, bro.
Yeah. Right. But look,
I miss Tommy.
Right.
Forgive me if it's too soon, but he jumped into an alligator pit, and he was told that there were alligators. Well, he kind of.
Don't mean that gator had no right to kill him.
That's what it means specifically.
Exactly. No, don't, man.
But didn't he? Wasn't he kind of asking
for
it?
If I come to your house, do you just have right to kill me?
Well, no. But this is different.
It's not different.
Okay, but if
you
I lay
go when you kill someone, it's an eye for an eye, man. Eye for an eye. And it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
What? Okay, I'm not sure how that's...
Stitching time saves nine.
All right, now you're just saying things, Bear. All right, so tell me what happened. Tell me about when you got the idea, hey, I'm going to seek revenge for my friend Tommy.
Well, Tommy got eaten and killed by a gator.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's when I got the idea that I would seek revenge.
Okay.
But don't you think Tommy had it coming because he jumped in with the gator?
Don't give him no right to kill nobody.
All right. So how did you kill the alligator?
I shot him.
Oh, you shot him. Okay, so you didn't get into the water and wrestle him or anything like that. You just shot him from the shore like a pussy.
No, I got in the water, and I wrestled him, and then But he started to grab for my gun, and that's when I turned the gun on him, and then I shot him. It was self-defense.
It was self-defense.
We were struggling for the gun.
In the water.
Hey! Hey, you alligator! Come here! That's the alligator that cut me off in traffic! Hey, I know you! You gotta go!
Oh, come on, bear!
Yeah! That's what you get for cutting me off in traffic, alligator.
Wow, Bear, what is your situation with alligators?
Hey! That's an alligator I saw jaywalking the other day. Come here, alligator.
Well, don't hurt the alligator.
He had to go.
You don't have to kill someone just for jaywalking.
Well, he should have thought that before he jaywalked.
So you are just the law. You're just the judge and the jury and the executioner,
yeah,
right?
Judge Gator.
Judge Gator.
Come
okay.
Here!
Maybe you shouldn't have weapons.
I miss you, Tommy.
Bear, what about the fact that you face a potential...
Hey, an alligator that slept with my girlfriend.
I'm sorry, an alligator slept with...
Well, he's gone now.
Yeah.
Sure are a lot of alligators where you are this morning, Bear.
That might have been a man. That might have been my bad.
I want the money. I want the fame.
There it is.
I want the whole world to know my name. This is mine. I gotta get it. I gotta get it. Gotta get it. Another period.
Here's all I know. If I'm doing a show about life in 1902 Rhode Island, the only name that comes to mind to sing my theme song is Snoop Dogg. Am I right?
I mean, yeah. We got so lucky. I still can't believe it when I hear it.
I don't think you got so lucky because I think he does everything that's offered to him.
No, we are just very special. It's okay, just us. Right, okay. Only us. Yeah.
My bad. All right. Let's introduce our guest. Ricky Lindholm is here from Another Period on Comedy Central Tuesday nights at 10:30. Her little friend Natasha Leggero hates us apparently and doesn't want to have anything to do with us.
Although she said she's 2 minutes away, like 3 minutes ago, so she should be coming any second.
Hates us or hates the show? Which is it? Your show or our show?
Well, I hope it's your show if it's one of the shows.
Right.
That's fair.
But
I want to see her make an entrance like the Kool-Aid man coming through the wall. I just want to see her like burst into the room like out of nowhere. It'll be awesome.
That would be hard. She's very small.
I was going to say she's got short legs, so 3 minutes could be like seven.
Yeah. That's true. You got to account for that. It's like
is she walking
it's like
from
Google
San Diego?
Like a walk drive. There's a tall person, short person walking button.
So, Ricky, first of all, congratulations on the show. I think we're 3 episodes deep. If you have not yet caught on to the magic that is Another Period, you can watch those episodes on the Comedy Central website, Tuesday nights at 10:30. But let's talk about your weekend, because you and Natasha were down at Comic-Con.
Yes. That was amazing.
Your show, this shows you how big Comic-Con has gotten, because this is not the type of show traditionally in years past that would have even gone to Comic-Con, but now you just go where the people are, right?
Yeah, we got very, very lucky, because there's not a lot of comedies that get accepted to Comic-Con. You know, it has to have something to do with things, but, you know, often like one or two things slide in, and it was us and Drunk History got to do a joint panel. And
awesome.
I think just the historical nature of both of them or something that was more for that. I don't know how we got in, but it was so much fun. And Joss Whedon moderated our panel.
It's such a bummer to have somebody that doesn't matter in that world to moderate.
We wanted someone good, and we got this guy named Josh. I don't know.
Now, how did it happen? How did you get Joss Whedon to moderate your panel? Because that was it was not announced ahead of time. That was just a surprise for people in the room who showed up for it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was in a movie that he made a couple years ago called Much Ado About Nothing, and I had sent him the pilot, and then he just loved it. And he's just been a fan of the show, and he's like been watching it. And one of our writers was actually supposed to do it, but he got a part in a movie. And so we're like, who can we get? And I was like, I can ask. And he was like, absolutely.
Didn't you think like there's no way he's too busy doing
totally,
stuff?
Totally, 100%. Yeah. I was like, this is a shot in the dark. This will never happen. And then we got the homecoming king of Comic-Con.
All right. Because he's too busy running Hollywood to mess with your little cable show, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's making the highest grossing movies of all time. And then also like the coolest like indie nerd cred things. And
Was that the Shakespeare adaptation that he shot in his house, right?
Yes. That was crazy. It was like 13 days, 12 days or something. And it was totally secret. So we didn't tell anyone. And it was just like, it was like going to summer camp. And I'm still friends with all those people. I've never been on a set for such little time. And we still hang out.
That's cool.
I love them. Yay, Natasha's here.
Hey, Natasha. Hi, Natasha.
It takes an hour to get here from Silver Lake.
Okay.
Well, we apologize for that. We didn't move, by the way. We've always been here.
Hello?
All right, let's get her some headphones here.
I'm here for Radio Live.
Okay. Hi, Natasha.
Hi.
We were just starting
your
to hear.
Look fine.
Thank you.
We were just starting to hear about Comic-Con and how awesome your panel was with Joss moderating.
Oh yeah, it was so great. We had a great time. I know. It was so cool that he did it. Were you there?
No, we weren't there. We weren't there, but we heard about it. It was all the buzz. Was it tough to get another period on Comedy Central? Was it a tough sell saying 1902 Rhode Island rich people?
It really was.
That's a tough sell for anywhere, anytime.
Do you know, we made a short. Like, Natasha and I wrote this script, and we're like, it wasn't as – the tone was not on the page. And so we spent our own money, made this short, you know, with costumes and got the setting and everything because we needed to show them – we knew we needed to show people what it was going to be like because the pitch itself, it's like – a comedy set in 1902. Hilarious. It's not, you know what I mean?
But it was actually a very, I mean, there's a, you know, huge success at Downton Abbey. And, you know, there is, these people were living like rappers at the turn of the century. And it's pretty crazy. Like once you start really,
it's almost hard to parody them, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, it was, well, you know, Downton Abbey makes everything dramatic. You know, like if someone's like freaking out because there's no more bedtime biscuits, then there's dramatic music. So it's like that you can see how you could make that a comedy.
And a lot of it we didn't even have to parody. So many things were historically accurate. Like there's like cocaine wine in the first episode. And we're like, no, that was real. Everyone was drinking that. Like
I
a lot of things we just got to.
Not real anymore.
Oh,
why don't we still have
the day
that?
After. I was like, I'm going to need that cocaine
wine. I know, that would be the best buzz.
Right?
Oh, I bet it's a bad hangover, though.
Oh, got to be. Yeah.
Didn't Coca-Cola at one point have cocaine in its recipe, too?
Yes, it did. Back right after cocaine wine. They're like, oh, we'll make cocaine. That's true. They were like, we'll do Coca-Cola. And then eventually they lost the cocaine part.
But. One of the things that I love on your show, by the way, and they do this on Downton Abbey as well, so I assume that there's some historical significance to this and truth in this, is that you really do pretend that the servants aren't in the room. Now, you guys carry that to the greatest possible extreme by having sex and everything in front of the help, but I mean, they really do pretend, like the servants are furniture for those people, right?
Yeah, my character always forgets if they're people or not. And I have to ask, like, once every three episodes. So.
But definitely, yeah, it's a different, you know, it's just a different mode of being. You know, you're in the middle of talking to someone and then you lift your hand out and someone puts a bracelet on it. And, you know,
that's pretty sweet.
You don't really need to thank them. And I mean, you see in Downton, like, whenever she's talking to her husband, the mom, when she's going to bed, she just, like, puts her hands up and someone puts on her nightshirt or her sequenced robe she sleeps in.
And
the idea of being like public like that, like I mean, when my cleaning lady's at my house once every other week, I'm like, I go hide.
Right. Yeah.
You hide?
Yeah. Like I just want to be in her way.
Yeah.
Totally.
You can't be like standing in your kitchen while someone else is cleaning it when you could totally be cleaning it. You
know? Right.
You got to like pretend you're.
Hey. I can't be here, so that's why you're here to clean, because I'm someplace else very important.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be looking on Twitter, but when she walks in, it looks like I'm, like, typing away.
I'm way too busy. Way too busy to clean. Natasha Leggero and Ricky Lynn, whom we're here again, we're talking about another period, which airs Tuesday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central. It is very, very funny. Now, you talk about how lucky you got getting Joss to do your panel. Let's talk about how lucky you are to get every funny person in Hollywood on your show.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
It's great. Like, every episode, I'm like, wait a minute. How did they get that person?
I mean,
how does it happen?
Ricky and I went and brainstormed and like really thought about the characters, and we would think like I would pitch someone to be a person. She's like, but who's the ultimate person? And so we would pick the ultimate person and then kind of write for them, and then we ended up getting all those people. So that was like so weird.
We did not expect that. We were like, maybe one of these people will do it, and then
Christina Hendricks.
Right. It just snowballed.
Michael
Yabla. She's hilarious, by the way. He's hilarious. He's unbelievable. Who knew he was American Indian?
I love Peeper so much.
All right, we got to take a quick break. The ladies are here. Another period airs tomorrow night at 10:30 on Comedy Central. More with our guests in a moment on K-Rock.
Sorry.
Hey, grown-ups are talking here. Come on.
Sorry. Thank God that song ended so we can talk on the air and get rid of Annie talk, which is what was happening for like 10 minutes there.
There's a lot of discussion about the various incarnations of the play and movie Annie, that's for sure. Our guests are Natasha Leggero and Ricky Lindholm. Their show is very funny. It is called Another Period. And I know that a lot of guys listening will be, ooh, that doesn't sound like anything I want to be a part of. But it's not what you're thinking. It's about the lifestyles of the rich and famous in 1902 Rhode Island. It airs Tuesday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central. It's very funny. Now, Ricky, you were starting to tell us when you first got in, you guys did a lot of legitimate research on the real life lifestyle of these people back then.
Yeah, we went to Newport and did all the house tours, and it was just astounding. All the houses, you needed like 40 servants to keep up. And so as soon as income tax was introduced, everyone had to move.
But that was like, they had a good 10 years of living like this. And so it was just really like this golden age. And it's pretty crazy how people were living. And if you look at the rich people in America who were living like this at the same time as like Downton Abbey was happening in England, the Americans were like way more tacky. They were like living it up. Like I said, they acted like rappers. hours, they would just like nothing was too much for them. And so it's such a cool part of the history that people haven't really talked about.
And the servants here were more disgruntled. They weren't used to being in servitude. They want that American dream. Everyone wanted to be upwardly mobile. And in England, it was, I think, a little more, you had your station.
My great-grandfather was an under-butler, and my father was an under-butler, and I'm proud to be an under-butler.
So it's more historically accurate than it needs to be to just be a comedy show, right?
Well, but it was just inspiring. Like, we were just inspired. I mean, it's not exact. I mean, it's historically accurate for sure, but it's not like it's like a historical piece.
No,
it's just,
not at all.
Yeah. We were just totally inspired by the decade.
Yeah, the episode next week, someone in our family gets appointed to be a senator because you didn't vote for senators back then.
They just got appointed?
Yes, your dad just gets you the job.
Nice.
That was real. And then someone also gets diagnosed as homosexual by Sigmund Freud because that was also happening. So and we get cured for hysteria through, I don't know if I can say it on morning radio.
Yeah. Through
orgasm.
Orgasms. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how that works.
But that's all real.
We've already seen Helen Keller.
Which episode
appear.
Is that in?
Five next week.
Yeah. We've seen Helen Keller appear, and she's a bitch, by the way. And Mark Twain.
A bitch.
Right. And then Mark Twain appeared, and he's a drug. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about tomorrow night's episode. The great Jack Black makes an appearance on Another Period. Tell me about this beauty pageant.
Well, Jack Black plays Dan Ringling. He's like the other Ringling brother that didn't make it in the circus.
A non-successful one?
Yeah.
And, yeah, he plays, it was until our show, beauty pageants were just like cabbages and babies, and now we're the first human beauty pageant. So now, but they didn't think to get rid of the cabbages and babies.
So that was a real thing?
That was real.
So yeah, so our beauty. So Jack is I'm competing against a cabbage and a baby.
But how did that make sense to people in 1902? I mean, I'm
which
really
is better, this cabbage, baby, or woman?
Because they didn't really think like you would judge humans. Like that just seemed like wrong. And so when someone suggested it, I think they just let it happen, and then it took off.
But most of the characters in our show are so weirded out by the thought of judging a woman on her beauty. And our mom actually says, in my day, women were just judged by silence. what is it? Silence, fertility, and threshold for pain.
Yeah. All right, let's hear a piece of tape. I think Jack Black is on this clip from tomorrow night's Another Period.
A human beauty pageant?
That's absurd. Only cabbages should be judged on their beauty. Let me see this.
It says it right here. Newport's most beautiful pageant is now going to be a competition between cabbages, women, and babies. It's dehumanizing.
In my day, a woman was judged only on her fertility, silence, and threshold for pain.
The winner is to appear on a biscuit tin.
I'll enter.
Well, me too.
I can't wait till we win.
Beatrice, only one of us can win, and we both know your head shape cannot support a tiara.
All right, not so much Jack Black on the clip, but it was still very entertaining.
I didn't realize I was quoting the clip. I would have saved it.
Sorry, our fault. No. What about the outfits you guys get strapped into? What's that like for reals?
Yeah, that's got to suck.
We liked it. Did I mean, you? Well, we're like women, and, you know, it's
you're not like women. You are women.
Well, we're also kind of like men.
Yeah, I was going to say we're women who are kind of like women, I guess.
But we were just like, you know, hanging out in this glamorous mansion, and we're always like dressed up. And
but we didn't really wear corsets.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No, it just was. It's not easy to be funny in a corset because you can't breathe, and it's hard to be
that
funny.
Seems like
and
that's
do
necessary for
fight
comedy.
Scenes. Yeah. We're like, it's better to be funny than wear a corset, I thought.
But our costume designer was so specific and crazy about, you know, what we should be wearing in the time period. Like, if I wanted to wear, like, she'd show me some clothes. I'm like, can I wear this for that scene? And she would start, like, breathing heavy and being like, no, that is an evening gown. You can only wear daytime clothes in the daytime. People would never do that then. Like, everything is, like, extremely historically accurate.
You're
for
like,
the
you
time
know we're
period.
On Comedy Central, right?
Yeah. We're
cool.
Well,
I just
know,
like this hat.
She was just a perfectionist, as was our set designer and our director, and so just having all that, you know, people, all those people striving for excellence, really kind of added another level to the show that we.
You ever go
had.
Look? It's this is done, this is we're just trying to make people laugh. Stop it!
Oh, all the time.
Okay,
but
yeah,
but you know, it's nice to have a day dress at the right time.
Sure,
I did love the lovemaking scene though, where the servants take you out of your dress and you realize you're wearing like 40 layers of clothing underneath.
I was wearing a corset in that scene, but
it is crazy. How much stuff you had to wear back then.
It's well, I have a love scene with my twin brother, played by Jason Ritter.
That's sweet.
And
he's like, I want you right now. And then I just put my arms out and it's like 5 minutes of them undressing me. And Jason just keeps going, slower. So stupid.
Also, like, there was like one toilet then too. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, people wore so many clothes.
Yeah.
And then they all, like, I don't even know. I think there was like one water closet. We're just very lucky now, you guys.
We didn't realize how lucky
that's
we were.
Takeaway.
Until today. So how many episodes are there? There's been three?
There's 10.
Four?
And okay. The fourth one airs tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and you know, we really, everyone's character really goes somewhere. I'm excited to see what happens with, well, I know what happens with Christina Hendricks, but I'm excited for people to see it. And...
Her character takes a big turn.
Mm.
She's not who you think she is.
What?
Well, you kind of saw that in episode one. Mm-hmm. You saw...
We tease it, but then, yeah it expands. Don't tell Don Draper.
Well, this show is pretty much insane, and that's the kind of stuff that we like.
Yes.
So it's on Comedy Central. It is, again, Tuesday nights at 10:30. Guys, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you
for having us.
Thanks
of course.
For having us.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
Definitive proof, just after 9 o'clock, that Kevin is the whitest person in the world. That's coming up. Plus, we're going to give you a chance to qualify for destination number 2 of K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2015, which is the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas, with Imagine Dragons and Snoop Dogg, Weezer, Def Cab, so much more. That's all coming up. Hey, Ralph.
Find your grail. Find your grail.
I don't know what that is.
That's one of the songs from Spamalot. One of my favorite songs from Spamalot, the hilarious comedy that was a smash hit on Broadway and around the world, of course, based on the classic 1975 film Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's not from that movie, but still, Monty Python nonetheless.
And it does mention spam. I thought it was close enough.
Eric Idle took that movie and adapted it into a Broadway play that was just a smash hit. And now it's going to be for just 3 performances at the Hollywood Bowl. And what a cast, by the way. Jesse Tyler Ferguson will play Sir Robin. Eric Idle taking the stage as the historian. Craig Robinson will be King Arthur.
Awesome.
Christian Slater as Sir Galahad. Warwick Davis as Patsy, who's one of my favorite funny characters from that show. If you'd like to go see this, this is a rare chance to see Spamalot at the Hollywood Bowl. Only 3 performances. You'll get to go on August the 1st. If you're just call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First caller through at that phone number will get a pair of tickets to see Monty Python Spamalot at the Hollywood Bowl. If you'd like to get your own tickets, you can go to HollywoodBowl.com for more information and for tickets. But
take my money now!
It is going to be quite the event.
Find your grail.
Sarah Ramirez sang it in the Broadway version.
You going to go to all 3?
I don't think I'll be able to make all 3. I'm going to try to make 1, that's for sure.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
We will get right back to you. Kevin will get back to you. Sometime later today, Kevin will come to your house.
I don't think that's
and
true.
And personally hand you the tickets, because he likes to get back to people. That's how he rolls. Oh, it's all fun and games until someone has to pay $5 million. That's what 50 Cent is saying today. He thought it would be so funny to take a sex tape featuring a young lady named Lestonia Levison and put it up online after he overdubbed the tape with some narration, calling her all sorts of nasty names. Here's the thing. Lestonia is a baby mama of rapper Rick Ross. So this is 50 Cent getting back at Rick Ross by posting this tape online saying sort of rude things about his baby mama. It was funny, right?
Ugh, what a scumbag.
It was funny to him, I guess. And he said, oh, it's okay. She said it was all right with me using that tape.
Right.
He told a jury, and the jury and Lestonia disagreed, and now he owes her $5 million in damages.
Oh, that I'm was sorry. A miscalculation.
If I missed this, Ralph, was it a sex tape with her and Rick Ross? Was Rick Ross in the tape, or was it just his baby mama?
It was just his baby mama.
With some other guy.
With some
okay,
other
gotcha.
Guy, yeah. And,
5 million.
50 Cent was, narrating it and saying all kinds of filthy things, and just everybody was having a good time.
I love a narrator.
Until the,
on a sex tape.
Until the jury came in with that judgment. Now, in a completely unrelated story, rapper 50 Cent today has filed for for bankruptcy protection.
What?
What? He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
He's bankrupt.
What?
He's bankrupt.
Didn't he have water or, or vodka or some product
that
was making
drank a vodka and water last night before he filed for these Chapter 11 papers. But
Ralph, every time
you
do a list of the richest guys in hip hop, he's always one of those $500, $600, $700 million guys.
He has no money.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
He has no money.
Yeah, meaning it's all in the Cayman Islands.
No money for 50 Cent. Poor 50 Cent has filed Chapter 11 today.
Is he down to his last 50 cents?
Thought it, didn't say it.
Really?
Dumb.
Yeah, I probably should have followed suit.
So this is unrelated, right? It's not that he doesn't want to pay the $5 million.
It has nothing to do with
He's probably actually bankrupt. That's probably what he's talking about.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
He makes $5 million in interest, I would imagine, in the course of a few weeks. I mean, that's nothing to him.
Yeah.
Bean thinks you're a liar, 50 Cent.
It's
Bean at KROQ.com.
No, you didn't! We got his home address, too, Fitty, if you need it here at the station. Just let us know. Call us now. We'll get right back. It is Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office each and every Monday morning. Minions did very well with $115.2 million, making it number one this weekend. Jurassic World was second with just a paltry $18 million. I think that movie's like a flop. I think it's a failure. Only made $18 million this weekend.
Yeah, because there's one else left in the world who hasn't seen it yet, Ralph. That's why.
That sounds low. Sounds like it's a failure. Sounds like a big...
It's third year of being in the theaters.
Inside Out was third. Terminator Genisys and The Gallows were the top five movies at the box office. Magic Mike XXL. Sixth, Ted 2. Number seven, Selfless, the new film featuring Ryan Reynolds, where Ben Kingsley crawls inside him. I don't know exactly how it works, but that only made $5.4 million. That's America's way of saying, we're going to wait until Ryan Reynolds is in Deadpool. Then we'll go see him.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Other than that, we're good. We're all full up here. Thanks. Bahubali. 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 I'm not quite sure how it's said, but that film from India made $3.6 million, and Max was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, July 13th. Patrick Stewart, make it so, number one. 75 years old today. He's a pretty good 75, by the way.
Yeah,
he's
no kidding.
Well,
he sure is.
75. Here's the beauty of being a dude who at 40, you lose all your hair and you just shave your head and you look bald forever. No one can ever tell when you're getting old.
That's true.
It's like Steve Martin went gray when he was like 12. And he had gray hair his whole adult life. So how does he look any older? He looks the same. He looks the same as we've always known him. Same with Patrick Stewart. Harrison Ford is 73 years old today.
Hey, when you went up in the Comic-Con, you have to get there and make a pun. And then it's going to stay in the chair.
Did you say something about Comic-Con?
Yeah, he was at Comic-Con this past weekend. 73 today. Cheech of Cheech Ng Chong. 69. Cameron Crowe, writer, director, journalist, guy with the same initial starting his first and last names.
I didn't know that was a category,
it
but
is.
Okay.
58 years old today. Tom Kenny, voice of SpongeBob, is 53. And Ken Jeong, we love Ken, Dr. Ken, 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Tiffany Butts from Paris. You are the first person to qualify for K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2015. Stop number two. Go to beautiful Las Vegas for the Life is Beautiful Festival. Oh, man, that's going to be a show, right?
That
Weezer,
is going to be good, yeah.
Snoop Dogg, Def Cab, Kendrick Lamar, Imagine Dragons, Major Lazer, so much more. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Your chance to qualify coming up again today at noon, 3, 6, and 9. And then I assume we'll do a grand prize drawing next Monday to find out who wins the trip.
I'm sure she's heard this a billion times, but if your last name is Butts, I mean, don't you change it at some point? No,
I guess I'm guessing not because she didn't.
Just saying.
Who knows? Maybe she changed her name to Butts from something.
Oh, good thinking.
Truly awful. Like, ever think about that?
I did not think about that. No.
Hey, I'm glad Christine, assistant producer Christine, is in studio with us. Hi, Christine.
Hi, guys.
How was Comic-Con, by the way?
It was awesome. Awesome
Comic-Con.
Yeah, the freaks were out again this year. I couldn't believe some of the photos that I was seeing. Too many Darth Vaders, though.
Never.
Is there such a thing?
Right?
You couldn't go a block without seeing a Darth Vader.
That's why you shouldn't.
I'm glad you're here, Christine, because we want to talk about something that happened. Was it last year at Comic-Con?
Yeah, last Comic-Con.
I don't know why we're just now talking about this, but Kevin unearthed the video recently.
Christine did. She put it on her Facebook, and I was like, I barely remember it happening.
It was one of those things where we weren't at Comic-Con this year, and I was like having major depression about it. So I couldn't sleep one night, as happens, and I was looking through old photos from last year. I thought, oh, I'll post a Throwback Thursday. And then I happened to see this video that was on there, and it was one of those things where if you blinked, you would miss it. And you noticed that there was a moment where we were interviewing Mike Tyson. And at the end of the interview, Kevin goes to shake his hand. And it is, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's the dreaded honky shake. It's just, you go in for a regular handshake, and the other person is trying some other handshake, and you're just lame.
I wonder if, Kevin, should we set it up for what happened prior to
that? Well, yeah,
that?
I mean...
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Not only the dreaded honky handshake, which, by the way, I'm going to say in Kevin's defense, I bet happens to a lot of white dudes who go to shake hands with black dudes, because black dudes have the fancy handshakes. We all know that. And if you don't know that week's fancy handshake, you're going to put your hand out in the wrong place.
What black dudes have the fancy handshake?
What's a fancy handshake?
We all know that. What are you talking about? You don't have it this week. What's wrong with you?
They've got codes that they get that have changed every week that they're supposed to have to keep the white man on his heels. You know that. So that's thing one. Thing one is Kevin didn't have that week's handshake, so he just looks like an ass because he's putting out the standard shake. But thing two is, and I didn't know this until Kevin brought it up last week, you are at this moment, we can't see it on your face, Kevin. You look like you're yucking it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're secretly terrified and can't wait to get away from Iron Mike.
I'm scared out of my mind.
What happened?
Mike Tyson used to be the most threatening individual alive, right?
Right.
You'd see him, you'd watch him fight, he'd wreck people in 10 seconds and you're afraid of him. But lately he's been super calm. It seems like maybe he's got some meds. I don't know what's going on, but he doesn't seem like the same animal that he used to be. He seems like a kind, nice person. And we've interviewed him 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
So last year... we were at Comic-Con, and we were in one of those press lines where there's probably 30 or 40 people lined up, and he's supposed to go through each one and talk to each person about his Mike Tyson mysteries.
All right.
It's an animated show.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked to the first guy, and then I was second. So I start walking up to say, hey, Mike, it's Kevin. Because I'm, you know, he's threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And he explodes like... he broke from Calm Mike back into he can kill somebody within 3 seconds, Mike Tyson.
What did you do?
That was just before. I didn't do anything. What happened was a guy came running into the room with a script in his hand. And he said, Mike, I want you to read this. Correct me if I'm wrong, Christine. I think that's what it was.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And Mike... lost it. Apparently this guy had been harassing him on the street or something, and he had messed with him like 3 or 4 times, was trying to get him to read. He's a crazy person. Not Mike, the other guy was a crazy person. And just before I interviewed Mike Tyson, he went off and he started, get that mother effer out of that mother effer. He's the mother effer out on the street. That mother effer.
Oh,
and God. I was standing right in front of him, pretty much just peeing myself.
Yeah. Right after Kevin said, hey, Mike. It was like he didn't barely get that out. And then Mike goes from like kind, sweet. He's like being like making jokes at people. And he broke that character so fast to the point where like we all froze. And I was really sad because I didn't record that because I literally was like frozen because it was so scary.
I thought all of us in the room could be dead.
So in other words, it was kind of like there were a couple of times late in his fighting career where he just went off on this tirade where he was just swearing at everybody. Remember, he was screaming at his opponents and everything. He just snapped.
He snapped.
It seemed very dangerous.
And it was full-on snap, and I was not at all expecting that.
Oh, geez.
Of course.
So he's screaming at this guy, and then you're supposed to interview him about his animated show.
So he's screaming at this guy, and then they go, all right, you're up.
So did you talk to him about, hey, dude,
no.
What up?
Are you kidding?
In other words, you just pretended it didn't happen.
Yeah, I was just like, tell me about your show. Okay, great, thanks, bye. And that's when the dreaded honky handshake happened, where I reached forward with my right hand to do a regular white person handshake, which is boring, right? Because I don't know the, what did you call it, Bean? The shake of the day or whatever? Shake of the week?
Fancy shake.
Fancy shake.
But in this...
did this video, by the way, which is up. This video, which is up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, is also Kevin. You tweeted it. Yes. It's also at the Instagram page. You can actually see this video, this handshake we're talking about. Don't you hand him the microphone first? Isn't that what starts off the?
The microphone is in my left hand, and I reach out with my right hand to shake his hand. And for some reason, at the same time, I reach the microphone out, so all of this is going on. And I just remember I was still just like, you know, when you're completely overcome with too much noise, too much whatever.
Yeah.
I was just frozen. I didn't know what to do. I was just like, okay, I want to go away now.
You just wanted a quiet, dark corner somewhere.
I just wanted to go sit and cry. I wanted to curl up in a corner and cry.
All right. So you hand him the mic. Then you hand him your pale white hand, and then he's going in the wrong direction for that,
well,
I guess?
They're kind sort of hugging the mic with their hands.
Yeah.
Like the mic is in a friend.
And he's probably thinking, why is this guy handing me the mic? Like, he didn't understand what I was doing, and I didn't understand what I was doing.
But it was like handing him the mic from the side that you talk into, not the side that you hold.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I was scared. That's all I know. And then, as soon as my interview was finished, they said, that's all. And they took my interview.
Oh, really?
Wow. And they took him out the other side. They were like, we don't want this mic to be out there.
By the way, I don't know anything about what that dude's deal was with the script, but of all the people in the world that you antagonize... Isn't Iron Mike pretty low on that list of people that you want to get ticked off at you?
Yeah, I would think, because it sounded from what he was yelling like they had interactions before where Mike was angry. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't the first time that this was happening.
Right.
Definitely not.
So I was not cool under pressure.
But you regret the handshake, right?
Of course. Okay, my regret is that I would have done that handshake regardless of what happened before. So,
my favorite part of the handshake was at the end.
All right, take it easy.
After they're doing the hand hug on the mic, Mike just grabs his arm.
With his other hand.
Yeah. Just cause, like, shaking his head like, dude, just stop. It's fine.
Stop what you're doing. You stop what you're doing.
You tell him I'm just over it.
Let me just do this so you'll stop what you're doing.
He just wanted to get away from you every bit as much as you wanted to get away from him.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
It's kind of fun to be able to introduce Ally McKay to the moments with that she hasn't heard yet, right?
I mean, it's fun for you guys. Sure.
Kind of came up off the air. We were talking about our good friend Robert Kirkman, who had a big weekend at Comic-Con this past weekend, and we were reminiscing about the first time we ever had him on the show. And, of course, he's become a friend of the program. We had him on many, many times since then. But Kevin maybe wasn't 100% clear as to what he was coming on to promote that very first time.
We were in Vegas, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph had a lot to drink. I was pretty sober. But
that'll be evident in this clip.
Got some balls.
But we had Robert Kirkman, or as I refer to him, Kingman, on the show on the phone that first time. And I may not have had a full grasp on who he was or what he was doing.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But we're also going to talk about a movie. I'm sorry, a TV show, too. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
That was Moment with Kevin.
Did sound good.
But at least you're just a liar. It's fantastic. I have no idea what it is. I've never seen it, but it's fantastic.
Poor Ralph's just sitting there like...
Robert Kingsman?
Good times.
He's one of the Kingsmen. Secret Service.
Of course, Robert
sang Louie Louie, of course.
Robert Kirkman was on the phone, of course, while I was doing all of that.
You're just an embarrassment.
But he forgave us, and now it's cool.
He's got a good sense of humor.
We cool. Yeah. Hey, it's 9:39, time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Because it is a Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Minions, as expected. Number one movie at the box office. Over $115 million. Made it number one. Second was Jurassic World, a distant second with just $18 million. Inside Out, $17 million, made it number three. Terminator Genesis, The Gallows, those are your top five movies. Then Magic Mike, XXL, Ted 2, Selfless in its debut, pulled in a paltry $5.4 million. Bahubali, the action film from India, made $3.6 million, not bad for just 170 screens. And then Max, story of the beloved German shepherd who fights in the war and then comes home, finds out his wife's been cheating on him.
That sounds great. Let me know how that goes.
Gets a sniper rifle, goes up to a bell tower. It's sad what happens to Max, but...
Max is a dog.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what war does to you, Allie. You don't understand.
So 50 Cent thought it would be hilarious if he took a sex tape featuring a woman named Lestonia Leviston. Leviston?
Sounds like I'm saying her name.
And posted it with some obscene overdubbing because, you see, he doesn't like Rick Ross, the rapper, and so he would get back at Rick Ross by posting this sex tape of this woman who fathered a child, who mothered a child, rather, of Rick Ross's. And so that would be hilarious until the whole thing went to court. And Lestonia said that she never gave him permission to use that tape. It was stolen, and it was leaked by the ex-boyfriend who's in the tape. And the jury agreed with her, and the judgment against 50 Cent, turns out, is $5 million.
What? I'm busy now. You can't be hounding a pimp.
Well, we're going to hound you because you need to pay her $5 million. Oh, wait a minute. This just in. 50 Cent files for bankruptcy.
Yay!
He doesn't have any money.
He was always on that list.
Listen, mm-hmm. Kevin, because Forbes lists him as the fourth richest hip-hop artist in 2015 doesn't mean he has $5 million to pay this woman. Just because his estimated net worth is $155 million.
And those estimates are from this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because of his fortune that he made from selling vitamin water and effing vodka, his vodka franchise, and SMS headphones, SK energy drinks, and Frigo underwear. Just because of those things doesn't mean he can pay her $5 million. He's broke. He's bankrupt. He's Chapter 11.
That can't be possible.
Well, he wouldn't lie about something like this.
That's true.
He couldn't say it if it weren't true.
Right. More from the effing BS file. Bill Cosby's wife says, sure, he's a cheater, but he's no serial rapist. The women in question took the drugs and had sex with Bill with their consent. She says,
why would she say that?
Because, Kevin, again, she couldn't say it if it wasn't true.
First of all, that's not true.
Oh. Camille is also his business manager, so some people are speculating she's just desperately trying to save the sinking ship that is the Cosby franchise.
Isn't it way, way, way too late for that?
Yes.
It's at the bottom of the ocean right now, that sinking ship, isn't it?
Yes. Everyone who was at one point defending him seems to have cut ties with the family, and she is determined, in her words, to get back in front of this, said a source that was at a crisis meeting held by the Cosby family last week. I created him. I knew what I was getting, and we'll fix this, she told the gathering at their home in Massachusetts on Tuesday night.
Come on.
How does she feel that rehabilitation is possible if he's not even willing to take the first step toward that, which is to admit what he did?
He doesn't have to admit anything because all the women did it willingly.
Oh, I see. Okay. The ones that weren't lying about it.
You're not listening.
They were there because they wanted to be. Gotcha.
Right.
I created him is something that she said?
That's what the quote is.
Huh.
There was a gathering at the family's home in Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts on Tuesday night, and Camille spoke to a small circle of advisors and associates, and she said she's going to fix this. Well done. Good job. Nice man.
By the way, no matter how open your marriage is, how is this not embarrassing on her that she's looking the other way while he has sex with dozens of women?
Well, she says they had an understanding, and she's always known about it. But she is bothered by the invasion of privacy into their family.
So it's our fault.
Yes. So can you please give them their privacy in this time of crisis?
Sorry, sure. Camille. My bad.
People are mean.
And I'm going to keep plowing
that's the problem.
Because in this world of education, there is a harvest.
That's a good point. Thank you, Bill.
I'd love me a good harvest.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
Fresh from Comic-Con, additional casting news for CBS's Supergirl series. Peter Facinelli is going to be joining the cast.
Very talented actor.
He will join Supergirl as Maxwell Lord. Oh, man. That's juicy, right?
Fine,
Kevin,
Maxwell
you know
Lord.
Maxwell Lord.
Sure. He's a butler for...
Nope.
He was in the 7 Days of May, wasn't he?
He, of course, is the tech billionaire.
Sure, the tech billionaire.
Who eventually became...
Bruce Wayne.
Nope.
Bruce
Wayne. Became the...
Batman.
He became the founding...
Founding father of the country.
Nope.
Right?
He became the founding support for the Justice League International.
Sure.
With Booster Gold, of course, and...
Kevin was going to say Beetle, that, but you didn't give him a chance.
Fire, Ice.
Right.
Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Miracle.
And then... What happened, Kevin? Remember?
He died, and they brought him back to life.
Nope. Well, he turned out he was the bad guy beholding the whole thing when Ted Kord found out his Blue Beetle.
Sure.
And then we know what happened to Blue Beetle.
Well, yeah. You keep looking at me for this, Ralph.
I'm trying to get something out
Come
of you,
on,
man.
Come on.
Make you useful in some way.
What were we talking about? Oh, we're talking about the casting for Supergirl. Gotcha.
Maxwell okay. Lord. Played by Peter Fasinelli. That's good news for everybody. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Ken Jeong. Oh, how much do we love Ken Jeong? Funny, funny man, and can write you scripts for drugs. What more do you need in a guy than that?
He was actually a doctor. That is pretty weird.
I think he still is. I don't think they take it away from you.
Yeah. Does he still practice?
He doesn't need to practice. He's that good. He's already got it down, man.
I think he told us a story when he was in. Am I remembering this wrong? Like, he was on the set of The Hangover or something he was working on, and somebody really needed a doctor. Like, something serious happened, and he was there, and he was able to spring into action.
Yep.
As a doctor. It's pretty cool.
He's still a doctor, Kevin.
Still a doctor.
You don't pull your ticket.
You know what I meant.
I don't know what you mean.
Yes, you did.
Cameron Crowe is 58 years old. Tom Kenny, SpongeBob SquarePants, is 53. Cheech of Cheech and Chong. Cheech Marin is 69. Harrison Ford is 73. Patrick Stewart, 75. Make it so, number one.
Hell of a voice.
One of the greats. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Beer Mug is driving an Uber. So that's,
sure is.
So that's a thing.
How about that?
And yesterday, there was a deposit made in his car.
By the way, I don't know what your relationship is like with Uber drivers, but can you imagine if you call an Uber and Mug shows up, how much he would hound you? To talk.
That's why the vomit came.
Yeah. Don't you sense that Muggs would be the guy who would, hey, how's it going? Where are you headed? Right. What's going on? How's your life been up till this point?
Anybody in the back seat of a car that Beer Mug would be driving, once he started talking, you would get sick.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
He wouldn't stop talking ever.
I hope he gets cancer.
Wow.
We also have Twitch in the studio for Magic Mike and So You Think You Can Dance. We have the Bachelorette Report, and we've got your Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Pass tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.